Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
Oh. Right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning from 1 to 5. And, yeah, it's Friday, so that means all of our regular Friday features will be coming up. We've got You Big Dummy. That's where we read actual news stories of real people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person through at 312-981-7200 is our third vote, and that'll be our dummy of the week. We are never there's never a lack of dummies every week because people are dumb. So we got that, and we also have Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this station 24/7 whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes true with Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this station 24/7. When anybody mentions me, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We also have Vix Picks. Vix Picks. This is where we're Vic is making his way through the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone magazine. He wanted to educate himself on music. He didn't have a lot of music knowledge, and he wanted to educate himself, and that's exactly what he's doing. And every week at 3:30, after the 3:30 news, Vic picks a couple of albums that he's been listening to from that list and talks about them and what he learned about them and all that cool stuff as he continues his music education. So Vic's Picks will kick off our regular features at 3:30. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Well, that's when you call in at 312-981-7200. You can request any Fly Jam you want, R&B, soul, funky stuff. Get the requests in. We'll play them later, and that'll be coming up on the show as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk, text, Fly Jam requests, and anything else. And also, Jeff Tuckman is here, and he's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. So you have any questions that are video-related, DVD-related, tech-related, movie-related, you can't think of the title of a movie, and it's making you crazy, you can call us up, describe it to us, maybe tell us who's in it, and if Jeff doesn't know or I don't know, we have a really great track record because my listeners are really smart. And so that's one of the things we do. So you can't think of the title of a movie, you got a release date question or anything that fits in with Jeff, you can start calling now because we're going to talk with Jeff in just a couple of minutes. So 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So that's what's coming up on the show. Let me say hello to my great producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Ready for this nice long weekend.
It is. It's a three-day weekend. We are off on Labor Day. We'll be back Tuesday morning. So my dad will not be telling a joke this week. He's got the week off. And Steve and Eric will be also taking the week off from the movie reviews. We'll play catch-up the following week on the movie reviews. And actually, when we talked to Eric next, he'll be in Toronto because he'll be at the He'll be at the Toronto International Film Festival, of which he goes every year. And will give us exclusive previews of movies that he's seeing that we'll see sometime later this year. So that's what we're doing. You got plans for the weekend?
Yeah. I got a couple of friends from college coming into town. Gonna hang out with them. Gonna see a little bit of the family, grill out for Labor Day. It's gonna be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really have any specific Labor Day plans. We do have plans for my dad's birthday is Sunday.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, September 1st. My dad will be 78. And so his birthday is Sunday. So Saturday, the day that we go to the movies, we're going to see The Matrix. So yeah. That's like, for me, that's like the big thing for the weekend. It's the 20th anniversary of The Matrix, and they've re-released it at the AMC Dolby Theaters. And if you've not been to a Dolby Theater at the AMC, it is as great a modern theater as you can see, or as you can go to.
The picture is unbelievable.
The picture is unbelievable. Projection, amazing. Sound, incredible. So to see this remastered version, the 20th anniversary of The Matrix, on the big screen again is awesome in and of itself. But to see it in the Dolby Theater, this is one of my favorite movies of all time. So the highlight of the weekend for me is seeing a 20-year-old movie that I've seen 8,000 times.
You own on DVD and VHS.
I've got the whole deal, man. But yeah, so I'm very excited that they decided to do this. I don't know how many people are going to go out and see it. Only diehard idiot fans like me are going to go.
Oh, you'd be surprised how many diehard idiots are.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just very, very excited to see it after 20 years on the big screen again in the Dolby Theater. Like I said, those AMC Dolby Theaters, I always tell people, don't do the 3D. You know what I mean? Like, if a movie's available in 3D, unless it was like shot in 3D or something that specific, don't do it. Don't pay the extra. Don't pay the extra for the IMAX if it's not necessary. But I tell people to pay extra for the Dolby Theater. It's a little extra. It's a couple of bucks more a ticket, but it's way worth it.
It's funny. The last thing I saw in a Dolby Theater was another Keanu Reeves movie, John Wick 3.
I saw it in Dolby too.
So awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And like I said, you know, movies like that, if I see the option to see them in the Dolby Theater, we go to the one in Skokie, the Village Crossing, and they have a beautiful Dolby Theater. I love that theater because they have IMAX, and right across the hallway from them, they have a Dolby Theater. So you got both options if you want to see those crazy big. It's like I saw Godzilla, the last Godzilla. I saw it in IMAX 3D, and I went the whole route because it's Godzilla.
Sure.
So, but no, I'm excited about that. And then we're going to go to the Gale Street Inn. Afterwards,
restaurant in the universe.
Because it's the greatest restaurant on the planet, and George Karzis, my main man, is going to be there, and we're going to celebrate my dad's birthday at Gale Street Inn. So we're going to see Matrix on Saturday, Gale Street Inn, and then my dad's birthday is on Sunday. So that's the kind of weekend we're going to do. I'm not going to do anything specific Labor Day related. I'm just going to probably just chill out and watch some TV.
And do no labor.
Yeah, well, I Zero pride labor. Myself on trying to do that all the time. That's something I like to do 365 days a week, if absolutely possible. So, anyway, I hope everybody has a really great weekend. Looks like we'll get a little rain on Saturday, but outside of that, looks like we might have a good day for Sunday and Monday when a lot of people do their barbecue.
Absolutely.
So, it'll be a good day and a cool weekend. So enjoy your day off. Who's in for us?
So it's going to be Brian Noonan.
Oh, Noonan is filling in. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Who's producing?
It's going to be Sam Martino.
Oh, Sam. Good old Sam.
Sammy.
He'll be producing and Brian will be on. It'll be a good show. The show's in good hands. I'm always happy when I find out who's filling in for me and it turns out to be Brian. I go, you know, okay. I'll be happy to take the night off because the show's in good hands. So there you go. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great, because you know what I just did while you were talking with the great Tom Hush?
Yeah, what?
I just bought tickets, two of them, to see The Matrix,
hey!
20th anniversary. And I can even tell you how much. It's about half full, the theater.
Is that right?
Yeah, because River East is where I usually go.
Right.
Because
the River East has a Dolby.
They do.
And by the way, you got to check your AMC theater website to get the locations. There are several. And I know that I'm pretty sure Rosemont has one that the where I have my screenings, but they're not at every AMC. Like, not every AMC has the Dolby theaters. So check your local AMC to see if it's there and go. So you're going. What day are you going?
And I'm going to go Sunday.
Right.
There's an afternoon because I'm also going to I'm going out to the northwest suburbs to be with family. My mom for the first year is not going to be there for the. Labor Day celebration. She's going to see my Uncle Lonnie Vaughn in New Mexico.
Oh.
So it's just going to be us kids. So that'll be a first. A lot of firsts this weekend, because I've also never seen The Matrix, and I've never, ever been to a movie that's in Dolby surround sound. So
you are going to lose fun. You've never seen The Matrix?
I never watched it, and Jeannie's been trying to get me to watch it, and I've been wanting to. So
let me just tell you this, Vic. If you've never seen it before, it's going to blow your mind. First of all, it's going to blow your mind. Second of all, that's the best possible way to see it.
That's awesome.
Especially for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I can't wait.
It's so good. And when you see it, you're going to go, wait a minute, this is 20 years old? Because it feels as fresh now, despite some of the technology, obviously, is 20 years old that they have that they focus on in the movie, and we've moved beyond that.
Okay.
But the style, the action, the effects, it is a mind-blowing movie that still has an impact 20 years later.
Awesome.
It is so, so good. You're gonna. I'm so excited.
Can't wait.
So have a great weekend,
Thank
man.
Thank you, sir.
And you off on Monday?
Yes, I'm off Monday.
Okay, so we'll all three of us will be back on Tuesday
yep.
morning. But we still got a whole show to do. I don't know what the hell we're thinking. It's not 5 a.m. yet. We've got a whole show to do. And one of the great things about having a show is that you can have like really great repeat guests, regular guests, and for many, 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 many years, my first guest here is Jeff Tuckman, who has been a part of the show for many years and even longer a part of WGN. He is here to talk tech, to answer any questions about DVDs or Blu-rays, movie questions. You can't think of the title of a movie and it's making you crazy. Describe it to us. Tell us who's in it and we'll help you get a title. And that's at 312-981-7200. And it also comes bearing gifts. And we've got a really, really great gift prize to give away this morning, but let us make it official.
It's time to fire up that 16-millimeter projector.
It was available on VHS at one time.
The Nick DiGilio Show presents your international man of movie mystery.
I tell you, I'm a magnet.
I don't know what
it is, Nick. I don't know. It's just a video craze.
I'm assuming that maybe you should do the Howard Stern Show at some point.
Tuckman. Jeff Tuckman.
Yeah. Ah, yes, that's right. That's our great old intro to Jeff Tuckman. Jeff Tuckman, who has been in the video business since its inception. Joins us once a month to give away some fun stuff and to talk about movies and DVDs and answer any questions that you have about Blu-ray, DVD, titles of movies that you can't think of, and all of that good stuff. 312-981-7200. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, you know, we were just talking about the re-release of The Matrix.
Right.
20 years old. Seeing it on the big screen at the Dolby Theater at the AMC this Saturday. Couldn't be more excited. There's a connection that you and I have.
Yes, you do.
That involves The Matrix. For a bunch of months, I did not buy a DVD player.
No.
Like I was early to the game, but not early enough for you,
right?
Like because I got my first DVD player early 2000. That was my first DVD player. I think it was like in February of 2000. But like right in the early 1999 and mid 1999, you were like, you got to upgrade, man. You got to get rid of the VHS and you got to get a DVD player. And I was like, yeah, I will, man, I will. And so as an impetus for me to do it, to inspire me to get one, what did you come in one morning with?
Well, not only did I want you to get a DVD player, I said, to get him excited, I've got to get him his favorite movie. Now, you've got hundreds of favorite movies.
Yeah.
But at that time, so I went and actually bought you.
Yes.
I bought you a brand new copy of The Matrix.
On DVD.
On DVD, which is your introduction.
It was my introduction. It was the first DVD I ever had was The Matrix. It was the very first DVD. I think a lot of people, that might be the first DVD a lot of people have had. And I remember when I hooked up the DVD player and I had the sound and everything and I popped The Matrix in, I was like, oh. And now, obviously, we've moved beyond that with 4K and Blu-ray and all that and all that stuff. But at that time, you know, I got a really great DVD player. I had one of the best, you know, possible DVDs that you could start with. And so I have all these great memories attached to The Matrix many ways. And so you bought me a copy of The Matrix, and that was like, okay, I have to get a DVD player just so I can watch The Matrix on DVD. And I clearly was not disappointed.
I knew it would inspire you.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it could have been a horror movie.
No. But it was timely as hell because it just came out on DVD.
Oh,
because The Matrix came out in theaters in March of 1999, and you bought that for me like towards the end of 99. It was like October or something like that. So it had just come out on DVD.
That's right. And the beauty of it, even you know, I know technology, we've moved so far,
yeah,
ahead, but at that time. The visuals,
oh man,
phenomenal. The sound,
Forget it.
You know, that was part of it, too. I said, Nick, you're going to love this sound.
Yeah.
Because you know how important sound is to movies anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rest is
history. The rest is history. Yeah. That's okay. Right. Very cool. And now we're going to see it in theaters again. We have the chance to see a classic, a great film, a groundbreaking, game-changing movie on the big screen in the beautiful Dolby Theaters. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. So Jeff is here. You've been in the video business for as long as anybody who has ever been in the video business has.
A long time.
A very long time. Been part of the show for a long time. And you always join us to answer any and all questions about, you can't think of the title of a movie, you want to know if something's available, you get a Blu-ray, tech question, 312-981-7200. But also, we have stuff to give away. And you come in and you bear gifts every month. What do we got? We have four copies of a certain movie to give away this morning.
Yes. Because of all the new hype on The Lion King, we've got the Circle of Life edition.
The original Lion King.
The original Lion
King. Like the real Lion King.
Right. And and the package includes the Blu-ray edition,
mm-hmm.
the DVD edition,
mm-hmm.
The digital edition, and a ton of extras. I mean, you got the single. I mean, there's so much that the beauty of this version of Lion King is that, you know, it really does appeal to the youngest kids and the youngest adults.
This is the Tom Hush, my producer. This is the seminal movie of your childhood, right? The Lion King.
Absolutely. I still watch it from time to time, and it still brings a certain level of light to my life. So this is a great giveaway.
Yeah, it is a great giveaway. We've got four of them to give away. So why don't we take a break and do that right now? Let's give away our first one. We're going to go caller number six. Caller number six will get this incredible edition of The Lion King, the Circle of Life edition. Blu-ray, DVD, digital versions all inside and tons of extras. 312-981-7200. Caller number six will be the first to win our special Lion King edition package here. So it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200, caller number six. Jeff, hang on. When we come back, we'll talk more. We'll give away the Lion King a little. We got four of them to give away total. So, Jeff, hang on.
Yeah.
Jeff Tuckman is here. 312-981-7200.
See you. I'm gonna be a mighty king, so enemies beware.
Well, I've never seen a king on beasts with quite so little hair.
I'm gonna be the main event like no king was before. I'm brushing up, I'm looking down, I'm working on my roar.
There it is. Yes. It's the Walt Disney Signature Collection. The Circle of Life edition is what we're giving away. We've got four copies. That includes the Blu-ray, the DVD, and the digital copy. Incredible amount of extras, and that is of the original, the real Lion King. The real Lion King. And we've got some to give away this morning. We already gave away our first one. We want to congratulate our winner is Michael in Park City. Michael in Park City, congratulations. It's okay. Stay tuned, everybody. We've got three more copies of this incredible Circle of Life edition of the original Lion King to give away this morning. And Jeff Tuckman is here. Jeff, all right. How you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah. You know, I love that they include so many of these now include all three versions that you can watch. You got your Blu-ray, you got your DVD, and you got your digital. They started doing that a while ago, right?
They really did. I mean, because people are still buying the regular versions of DVD. Yes, 4K really hasn't taken off.
It will,
because the quality is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The extras are great. I'm a big believer in 4K. Biggest problem is where do you find them?
Yeah.
And the selection that when you do find
also
them.
Also, the selection is not as big as you would have hoped. I mean, that happened with Blu-ray, too, and it just took a while for it to catch on. And also, you know, people want to wait till the price drops a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and in fact, there were Blu-ray actually won out, because if you remember, there were two separate formats when it first came out in the high definition, and Blu-ray was the winner.
Yeah.
And the other was, I think, UHD, and it just didn't.
HD DVD.
HD DVD.
Yeah, that really didn't make it.
So, but Blu-ray's great. I've got a Blu-ray player. It's fantastic. And you've got three options, though, if you win this thing. You got your Blu-ray, you got your digital, and you got your DVD. And a ton of insane extras on this thing. Before we break for the news, let's talk to Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you for finding me that Without Moving name for me.
Okay.
First off. Second off, you were talking about Suspiria quite often, and when I go look it up, there's different years. Is there a version that you prefer over the other ones?
Well, there's two versions of it. There's the 1977 original that's Dario Argento directed, and then there is the remake that was released last year that's directed by Luca Guadagnino.
So you prefer the 1977 version?
Of course I do. The 1977 version is a horror masterpiece. I think it's the scariest movie ever made, and it's brilliant. And there are a lot of really great releases out there, Blu-ray and otherwise, of that. I will say, Tony, the remake is great. It's a completely different movie, but it's really, really great. So they're both worth a look. But if you're asking me to pick one over the other, I pick the original.
Well, that's the one I'm going to go with.
Okay.
Pretty much, you've been good on everything except for I disagree with you on Mad Max, but that's the only one.
Oh, wow. Okay, Tony. All right, take care, buddy.
Have a good night.
All right, take care. How does someone not like Mad Max? I can't process that. My brain, I don't have the brain cells to even comprehend that somebody doesn't like Mad Max. I can't.
It is.
What? Yeah. It's saying you don't like Air.
I would say, Tony, you just went over the Holy Grail.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, Mad Max is great.
Yeah, it truly is. All right, we'll take a break. That's how you call up. You got a question, we answer it, or I answer it. Jeff answers it. That's how it works. DVD, Blu-ray, tech question, release dates on stuff. And also, if you can't think of the title of a movie, describe it to us. Either talk or text at 312-981-7200. Three more copies of The Lion King to give away, and we'll do that right after the news, which is next.
To take certain duties on board. The future is littered with prizes, and though I may not see the point.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, that's a great voice. That is such a great voice performance, man. Such a great voice performance. Nick DiGilio here. How you doing? Jeff Tuckman is with us. We're here till 5 o'clock. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. And Vic's picks. Talk about some of the best albums ever with Vic as he adds to his musical knowledge. That was from The Lion King. Tom, do you have a favorite number from The Lion King?
It's probably that. It's probably Be Prepared, because Jeremy Irons is just giving it his all. And he does the vocal performance on that, which is rare.
He does. And he's... No, seriously, that's... I think... Because I've only seen The Lion King a couple times. It's been a very, very long time since I've seen it. But the couple times that I've seen it, the biggest takeaway I get from it is that Jeremy Irons is incredible. It's an incredible vocal performance.
And he gets to just chew scenery.
Absolutely.
He just hams it up, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, it is. That's The Lion King, and we have three more copies to give away because Jeff Tuckman is here. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Nick.
And it is the Signature Walt Disney Collection, the Circle of Life edition, Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. And what caller are we going to go with, Tom? What do you want to go
with? Let's go with caller number 10.
Caller number 10. You'll get our second copy of this fantastic edition of The Lion King. And it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, caller number 10. We'll get this incredible edition of the original Lion King, like the real Lion King. So 312-981-7200, caller number 10. It will be our next winner of The Lion King. Jeff, the Disney Company... They release a lot of different versions of stuff, but I remember there was a time, you'll remember this, when Universal would release 10 different versions of one title. I have 4 different versions of American Pie.
Yeah, that's right.
At home. You know what I mean? That still happens. I have 3 different versions of Dario Argento's Suspiria at home. Different companies get a hold of me, 5 different versions of Dawn of the Dead. And there are different reasons why this happens, but I remember the time when Universal was notorious for doing that.
Yes, and not only would they release them, they would come with a brand new campaign where they would be marketing. They looked at it like we have new audiences who are going to discover these titles for the first time. Mm-hmm. So that was the whole premise of why they did this. It got, you know, monotonous. At the time, one of the best examples are their classic horror films.
Yeah.
And so what they would do is just put them in different collections. And, yeah, sometimes they would add extras that you couldn't get on the, let's say, the original that they released. So they always gave us a little bit extra. But they don't do that as much today because, number one, there aren't video stores.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple chains in Chicago. That's it. I mean, Chicago, if you're looking to rent a movie, you're gonna have to go to Redbox. That's it. Plain and simple.
But it got a little frustrating after a while. It's like, look, I already bought this title once. I mean, how many times do I have to buy it?
Well, and in fact, if you read reviews online, a lot of people complain about that.
Yeah.
And they're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. You think you've got the ultimate, you know, package of it, and then, like, you know, like 5 months later, it's like, oh, wait, we found all of this extra footage and all this stuff. And then you're like, man, and if it's one of your favorite movies of all time, you're going to buy it.
That's right.
So, all right. Here's Mike from Berwyn. He's texting in. And it, they, by the way, text or talk at 312-981-7200 for any questions for Jeff. Who played Arabella McGee in Murphy's Law with Charles Bronson? And has she done anything else? That is the tremendous actress Kathleen Wilhoit.
Oh yes,
Wilhoit. Will? Yeah. Wait. Hold on a second. Let me get a great pronunciation. It's Wilhoit. Yeah, Kathleen Wilhoit. Been in a ton of stuff. You'd recognize her. You know, you recognize her if you see her. But yeah, that's who that is. And she was in. I mean, most notably, she's in Roadhouse. You know, she's one of the waitresses at the Double Deuce. She's the one who walks up to where walks up to the above the barn where Patrick Swayze is saying and sees his butt. That's her. So that's Kathleen Wilhoit. She's most notably in that. She's in The Edge, the movie with Anthony Hopkins, Alec Baldwin, and the bear, which is a really great movie. You've not seen that one, have you?
No, but I will say I've seen her in one thing that I've been watching a ton of recently.
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls, yeah. Liz Danes.
Yeah, she's a regular on Gilmore Girls. She, if you look her up on IMDb, she's got a ton of credits. And she's still doing, I mean, she's still doing stuff. She also does a lot of voice work on animated films because she's got kind of a very distinctive kind of a high voice. By the way, we have a winner already. It's our winner is David in Lockport. David in Lockport is our winner of our next copy of The Lion King, Blu-ray DVD digital package. And we've got two more to give away, so stick around. Two more copies of The Lion King to give away this morning. She's one of those great sort of like quirky character actresses that you see the person, you know what I'm talking about. You know how it is, Jeff. You see an actor or an actress and you go, "Oh, that guy." And then you don't know their name. Which, you know, but you see him in everything.
Well, because, you know, she is a terrific actress.
Yeah.
You know, but what happens is that, you know, people associate actresses getting great roles and to being these big stars.
Yeah.
But if you think about actors and actresses, the majority of actors working in Hollywood are not big stars.
Yeah.
I mean, because those are like in a category unto themselves.
And she also is a singer because she sings a song in Roadhouse. She's got a really good voice. And here's an interesting little tidbit about Kathleen Wilhoit. And I don't know why I remember this, but she sang back up in a choir with the Carpenters when she was a kid. So she actually was on stage with with Karen Carpenter singing vocals with Karen Carpenter in a choir. So she's terrific. And I think she's terrific. I've always liked her. I really like her. I think she's great. And actually, she's great in Murphy's Law, the Charles Bronson movie, one of the 900 action movies that he made for Canon in the 80s. Remember all the Canon action movies?
Let me tell you something. He put them on the map.
Yeah.
Also, Chuck Norris was on Canon.
So was Van Damme. Van Damme did some Canon movies. They had Stallone for a while, too. Canon released Over the Top.
Oh yeah,
Menachem Golan and Golan and Globus producers on Cobra? I know Cobra was a Warner Brothers release, but for some reason I don't know why I think their names are attached to it. I know George Cosmatos directed it, but back in the 80s, man, you had Schwarzenegger, you had Stallone, you had Van Damme, you had Chuck Norris and you had Charles Bronson. I mean, those guys released a movie. You get a different one of their movies a week.
Oh, yeah. And they all rented.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, those were huge video stores.
Yeah, video stores loved it.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. No question about it. All right, how about this? 224 area code says, in 1985 or 86, a movie that had Charlie Sheen in it riding a motorcycle and driving a badass car. I don't remember the name of it. I do. It's The Wraith.
Right.
The Wraith. Classic 80s action film. Is that available? Let's see if it's available on some kind of crazy format. Nick Cassavetes is in it. This was when Nick Cassavetes was acting before he became a...
Yep, you can get this on DVD now from Amazon.
Yeah.
It's under $10.
Clint Howard is also featured in it. Randy Quaid before he went looned. the beautiful Sherilyn Fenn.
Yes.
And Charlie Sheen. And it's called The Wraith. And that was one of those movies that I went into expecting crap. And I really enjoyed it. I remember there's another Charlie Sheen movie, because Charlie Sheen, you know, he's made some good movies and some terrible movies. But I remember The Wraith, before going in, I'm like, this is going to suck. And I really liked it. And the other one that I had my suspicions about that turned out to, because The Wraith is fun. It's not necessarily a really good movie, but it's fun. But the other movie that actually turned out to be like a really great movie is The Arrival.
Oh, yes.
The science. Have you not seen The Arrival? I'm not Arrival with Amy Adams and Jeremy. Now he's a rock and roll singer, Renner. but this is a movie from 94 or 5?
96.
96. And it's called The Arrival.
Directed by David Toohey?
Yes. A really, really good science fiction movie.
He's rocking a serious goatee.
Yeah. No, that's another one that I was like, nah. And it's intelligent and really good, and Sheen's good in it. It's a great science fiction movie. David Toohey has got a good track record. Guy's made some good movies. So that's available, I would imagine, as well.
Yes.
The Arrival. All right, thank you, Jeff. All right, why don't we take a quick break here, but what caller do you want now, Tom? Because we got two more to give away.
Let's do caller number eight.
Eight. Caller number eight. 312-981-7200. Caller number eight. 312-981-7200. You get our third copy of The Lion King from Disney's signature collection. It's the Circle of Life edition. You get the Blu-ray, the DVD, the digital, and tons of extras. Caller number eight at 312-981-7200. And again, this is the original, real version of The Lion King. All right, Jeff, hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right, we'll come back and we'll talk with Jeff about what's upcoming and some other things. And if you have questions, it's 312-981-7200 for talk or text. You can't think of the title of a movie or any of that kind of stuff. Just give us a call. And we still have one more Lion King copy to give away. And we will do that after the break right here on 720 WGN. It is where we are. It's love for this wide-eyed wanderer that we got this far. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. It's Friday. So that means all the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context, you big dummy. Nick D Show Spies and Fly Jams Friday. And, of course, Vic's Picks be coming up after the 3:30 news. We're also going to talk about movies where nothing happens. Movies. There's a lot of movies that are good where nothing really happens. So we're going to discuss some of those. That, of course, was from The Lion King, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? That's our giveaway this morning, and I want to congratulate now. Our third winner is Caribbean Bob. Caribbean Bob has our third copy of Disney's The Lion King.
The postage is going to kill me on that one.
coming up, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
The beauty of The Lion King also, it was the first time, I don't know how many years, that Elton John actually worked with someone besides Bernie Taupin.
Yeah, it's true.
He worked with Tim Rice, who was a huge star in his own right.
Yep.
And they worked great together.
They did. I do want to mention the stage version of it, which I think is spectacular. And I remember sort of having like doubts about it, but it was incredible. Actually, I saw it in New York. I saw it on Broadway, and I thought it was spectacular. I thought it was beautiful. The style of it, the puppets, Tom, did you ever see the stage version?
Yeah, I think it was. I want to say it was for my birthday. My girlfriend brought me to see it when they did it here. I can't remember which theater it was at.
One on Randolph, I would imagine.
Yeah, down there. Yeah, they did it here, and it was spectacular.
It's incredibly creative in what they do with the characters, mm-hmm. and the movement and everything. I just think it's great.
I think the one thing that I think is interesting is that we both like the stage version. You really like the stage version of The Lion King.
I love the stage version.
And you love another, you love a movie called Across the Universe.
Oh, yes, I do.
Both by Julie Taymor.
I kind of like her work. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a very specific vision. It doesn't work for everybody, but I think she's an incredible artist.
Did you see Titus?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom and I are in the minority on Across the Universe. I love that movie, and people hate it.
Well, I think people didn't understand it.
Yeah, it's the Beatles.
But come on, with that music, how could you not love that movie? Come on, guys.
All right, let's throw out the last one here. What caller number do we go for here?
I'm going to say 11.
11.
Take it all the way to 11.
Got it. Caller number 11 gets our final copy edition of The Lion King Circle of Life edition, Blu-ray, DVD, and digital, tons of extras. Caller number 11 at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Okay, Jeff, what do we got coming up? What are we looking forward to? What are some of the cool things that you want to talk about in future releases here?
Well, this week is a very good week for releases.
Mm-hmm.
We started out with The Secret Life of Pets.
Two. Yep.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to admit, I liked the first one a little better, but I still thought this was mm-hmm. terrific.
Great, incredible voice talent. Like, incredible celebrities on the list.
And it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. And I know this is, you talked about it before, but Godzilla King of Monsters week.
I got a copy of it at home. That's another thing that I'm going to do this weekend, this Labor Day weekend. I've got the great Blu-ray DVD digital package of the latest Godzilla King of Monsters movie, which I loved, and it's got a bunch of extras, and I'm going to spend some time watching that this weekend too.
Yeah, it is great.
Yeah.
Speaking of Elton John, I really liked this movie a lot. I know it didn't do as well as people hoped. It was Rocket Man.
It's a great movie.
Is out this week? I thought
it's a great movie. It did everything right that Bohemian Rhapsody got wrong. And the fact is, it's a musical. It wasn't advertised as a musical, but it's a musical. People break out into song and do dance numbers and musical routines. And it's great. It's great. And I'm a huge Elton John fan, especially the time period that movie takes place.
Yes.
Like the early part of his career up until he, you know, had to go into rehab and then makes his comeback. Everything in the 70s and the stuff that he wrote with Bernie Taupin at that time, some of the best stuff ever. And I loved Rocket Man. I loved it. I think it actually is one of the best movies of the year. And his performance is unbelievable.
And Egerton sang.
He sang.
That's him.
Yeah, that's him. All of the cast members who sing in it, it's them. Because it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of musical numbers that happen in the movie. But he's unbelievable. It's really an incredible performance.
I mean, if you think about it, everybody knows Elton John's songs.
Yeah.
And you know what it sounds like. And he did
he nailed
great.
It. Yeah, nailed he really, it. It's a terrific movie.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
Yep.
Also this week, season 7 of Chicago Fire.
Sure.
Great. Got
to support the local talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A great, great show. Another great local show, Chicago Med.
Yeah.
Season 4.
They had Lower Wacker all bunched up just this past week because they were filming. And so there were trucks everywhere. And, you see that a lot now. They film a lot of stuff here. So
great cast, great writing. Also, I just wanted to mention a documentary, which I really, really liked, Halston. It played on CNN, but if you didn't get a chance to see it, you can get it on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
He had an incredible life. And they captured this warts and all the way I described it.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it.
Really, 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 really
good. The guys who review movies with me on Monday morning talked about it very, uh, very positively.
Oh, it's terrific. I just wanted to mention in September, Men in Black International.
Woof.
I know. But I think it'll do well on the video. I don't know if I'll
tell you what, it couldn't do worse than it did in the theater. It's not possible that it can do worse because that thing bombed.
They spent a lot of money promoting it.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
No.
To say the least. No. Also, Ma is out.
You know what? I still haven't seen that.
Oh, you got to see it.
No, I got it. I want to see Octavia Spencer drug and kill teenagers. That's what I want. I like that idea.
She's such a good actress.
She's great. And I love that she's just, like, this whole premise is just that she's killing teenagers.
It's unbelievable.
I can't wait to see that. That's definitely one I'm going to have to check out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I know this movie kind of bombed, Aladdin, but it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be.
No, it didn't bomb. Aladdin, the live-action version of Aladdin?
Well, they're expecting a lot more.
No, it made a lot of money. Aladdin made a lot of money. It's a terrible movie, but it made a lot of money. By the way, our final winner, I want to make sure we get. I love that it was all men.
It's all dudes.
All dudes that won the four copies. And our next winner is Mark in Burlington. So it's Michael in Park City, David in Lockport, Caribbean Bob, and Mark in Burlington. Those are the guys. It's a bunch of dudes.
It's the Lion King, not the Lion Queen, okay?
Who won the copies of the Lion King special edition. So there you go. And Jeff, you always bring in great stuff, and I know you'll bring it in again next month. Okay, a couple more things you want to jump in here?
Yeah, also the same week, John Wick, Chapter 3.
Oh, please.
I mean, what can you say?
Please.
I mean,
you love
him.
I do. Keanu's my man.
I know.
And I'm going to see him as the one and only Neo tomorrow.
It really is. And a movie that obviously critics didn't like, but it lost a lot of money. But Dark Phoenix, I think on DVD and Blu-ray, I think will do very well.
Yeah. Those last couple of X-Men movies just didn't cut it. They didn't do well.
They didn't connect with the audience. It didn't. And also in September, just wanted to mention Shaft. The remake, it was okay, but I think it's going to have an audience.
Three generations of Shafts.
Right. And because you know how much I love the Beatles and all that, Yesterday it comes out the same week.
Yeah.
I know it got panned, but boy, I'll tell you, you know.
It did okay at the box office. I wasn't as crazy about it as I wanted to be. Like, the premise to me was great, and I just didn't think it pulled it off. But it's not terrible by any stretch of the imagination. And you know what? There's Beatles music in it.
That's what I'm saying.
Right there, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I even put up with I Am Sam, you know, only because I got the music.
Right,
what can I tell you? You know. There's so many other good movies.
Yeah.
Also on October 8th, Toy Story 4.
Yep.
Will do great. In a small little movie called Red Joan, which I know it's October, so don't worry about it. But there's a lot of titles coming out.
Tons.
The video business is doing great
as usual. Always great to have you. Now listen, Jeff. If people couldn't get through the question, email address.
Yourmediaman@AT&T.net.
Yourmediaman@AT&T.net. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you for bringing the Lion King down and giving it to our listeners. They love that.
Looking forward to next month.
All right, buddy, we'll talk to you next month. That's Jeff Tuckman. We got the news coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the WGN Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It is a Friday morning, which means all of the regular Friday features will be happening, including You Big Dummy, and that's where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy of the week. We've got Straight Out of Context. That's where you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody says something, anytime, that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes with Nick D Show Spies. That's when, again, you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me in any capacity, you become a spy. We want to know it about it. And send off the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And Vic's Picks coming up at 3:30. After the 3:30 news, we'll jump into Vic's Picks. Vic Vaughn, our very own newsman here on the overnights, didn't have much of a musical knowledge, and he wanted to fix that. He wanted to change that. So he decided he is going to take on the entire list of the top 100 movies, or 100 movies, 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And he's done that, and he's listened to them. He's listened to them daily now for a few months, and he's going on this musical journey, and he's going to take us with him on this journey. And we'll talk about a couple of albums that he's recently jumped into off of that top 100 list and talk about the impression that it made on him in this musical journey and knowledge that he's getting. That's Vic's Picks. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Wouldn't be a Friday without listening to some Fly Jams, some funky stuff, and some R&B and some soul. All of that stuff falls under the umbrella of Fly Jams, and we want you to request some Fly Jams. That's 312-981-7200. All right, that's what's coming up later on the show. But right now, I want to talk about the best movies where nothing really happens. And, really good movies, but nothing really happens in them. Now, you know, obviously a lot of people like big sort of complicated and tricky plots with big events and special effects and theatrics. But sometimes a movie can be terrific and nothing really happens in it. And that's what we're talking about. And we want to hear from you guys. What are some of your favorite movies where basically nothing really happens? 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, as we talk about the best movies where nothing really happens. Again, 312-981-7200. Here's what this website that I have here, Ranker.com. You know Ranker.com. This is where they throw out an idea and people rank them and talk about the entries and cool things like that. So this is the best movies where nothing really happens. And here's the introduction, and I'll give you the introduction, and then we'll go through some of their choices, some of the choices that are here, great movies where nothing really happens. And then I want to hear from you guys on this topic. It's not like absolutely nothing happens in these movies. It's just that there are no big displays of action, obvious plots, gut-wrenching excitement, or character arcs that seem larger than life. These movies, which most of them are independent films, feature no discernible story or plot points, but rather offer a more abstract approach to filmmaking. So even though the meaning may not be obvious, you may enjoy them because it's all about the feel of it. So these are the best movies where nothing may happen, but they will entertain you anyway. Most theatrical releases feature at least one main plot that drives the narrative forward to achieve a single goal. Every scene or bit of dialogue and character is placed to progress towards the movie's climax and subsequent ending. That goal may be to find the gold, win the big game, solve the case, make it off the island, finish the musical to a standing ovation, or save the day. Those are all common things that you see in movies where something happens. However, there is a small set of films, usually independent, that defy this formulaic Hollywood structure. The films mentioned here are not defined by one single plot line or result that achieves a singular goal. They are not interested in the same generic story shown repeatedly in cinema. Rather, this is a list full of movies that examine abstract concepts such as exploration of the human condition or the deconstruction of complicated interpersonal relationships. Even though several movies on this list are critically acclaimed films, some of them did not see box office grosses of the blockbuster hits that you all know about, despite all the awards and positive buzz. So how does a film with so much hype underperform in theaters? It's simple. There's not enough meat to bring to large audiences. There are no major catastrophes. There is no case to solve. There is no big evil villain. Many of these films and indie films are made for audiences that anticipate and appreciate depth and destruction, over destruction. This list represents the best movies where high octane effects aren't necessary. The moviegoer that enjoys these flicks instead look for the inspiration, the underdog storyline, the representations of real life. These movies are relatable and reflect deeper experiences outside of the action-packed Hollywood formula that we're all used to. And I got to say, I find these types of movies to be really refreshing. A break from the big spectacle. And I am not one that is against a big spectacle, for sure. I mean, I'm going to see The Matrix. I'm going to see The Matrix tomorrow, and I couldn't be more excited about it. And that is a movie that is all about spectacle and great special effects and great set pieces and character arc, major, major character arcs. And that is a spectacle, you know, in every possible way. It was a movie that made a ton of money, that was big in every sense. So I'm not against that. I just find it kind of refreshing when there are movies that that are out there where it's just laid back. We're watching a bunch of people or a bunch of characters. We're observing things, you know. So I love these kind of movies. Now, for me, the obvious first choice for this category, movies where nothing really happens, without question, is Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused, to me, is the quintessential movie where nothing happens. The quintessential great movie and a great example of a terrific movie where nothing happens. Dazed and Confused, they mentioned it here too. You can't talk about this kind of topic. You can't talk about the topic of great movies where nothing really happens without almost immediately going to Dazed and Confused. This 1993 coming-of-age comedy is set in 1976, and it follows a group of Texas teenagers on their last day of school. There's some hazing, there's some smoking, not just cigarettes, and a ton of drinking. The film is a simple day-in-the-life tale of high school students celebrating the start of summer, and yes, it would be a lot cooler if you did. And it launched the careers of so many people. If you go back and watch, this is Richard Linklater wrote and directed this movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I've seen it. I can't even remotely give you a ballpark figure on how many times I've seen Dazed and Confused. It launched the careers of so many amazing people, including, you know, I mean, it was one of the first movies that Ben Affleck was in. Mila Jovovich, who had worked a little bit before, Renee Zellweger is in it. Just a lot of people's careers started with this movie, and it was great. Parker Posey is very fantastic in it, and of course it's endlessly quotable. And I, you know, even though nothing happens, it's just a bunch of teenagers in Texas blowing weed, drinking, hanging out, driving. I adore the characters. I think the characters are beautifully fleshed out, and I cared about them, and I liked them, and I didn't need some big plot point to enjoy spending just, you know, an hour and a half with these people. So the first one for me is Dazed and Confused. And Tom, when you hear the topic here of great movies where nothing really happens, that to me, that's the first one that pops into my head.
It's certainly the most popular, and it's got to be. Pretty much anything by Linklater could follow that description, but yeah, this is like quintessential Linklater hangout.
It is. Linklater is represented in this article many times because he has it. That's his wheelhouse. That's kind of his wheelhouse, is making movies where, you know, like the Before trilogy, nothing happens really, you know, in those films. One of your favorite, Slacker.
Oh God,
nothing happens in that. And I'm sure that as we go through this article from Ranker, that, you know, we will have more Linklater entries. But for me, the ultimate is Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, if someone's like, you know, what's an example of a movie with no real plot?
Yeah,
Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, yeah. As I just mentioned, you know, a thousand times here before, I kind of like this movie a little bit.
You think?
Yeah, just a bit.
Let me tell you this: the older you do get, the more rules are gonna try to get you to follow. You just gotta keep living, man. LIVIN.
And that's the message, man. That's the message.
I wonder if McConaughey's new class is going to have no plot.
Yeah. That's right, man. I'm teaching a class now.
Hey, man, you got a joint?
I'm Professor McConaughey. I'm going to be the only professor at the college that's going to teach shirtless.
That I think now would be an opportune time.
Yeah.
To take our shirts off.
All right. If you guys want to jump in here, what are some movies? There are a lot of them. What are some movies that you really love where basically nothing really happens? So, yeah. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So let us take a break here, and we'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines, and we'll jump into the world of movies that are great, despite the fact that nothing kind of really happens in them. Man, that's from Dazed and Confused, Slow Ride, which is played in the final moments of the movie as they're driving in to get those Aerosmith tickets. And I love the final shot of that movie. I think it's one of the most beautiful and poetic and lovely and expressive final shots of any movie. They're in their car. They're in Wooderson's muscle car. They're blowing some weed. They're on their way to get their Aerosmith tickets. And they show each of the characters and how they're having fun. And it's a wonderful moment for these guys. They can't wait to get there and get their Aerosmith tickets. And the camera turns around and just shows the point of view of the car going on the open road. And they're driving into their future. And the road is clear. That final shot, it was one of my favorite final shots in movies. So... And that is Dazed and Confused, and that is a movie, it's a great movie where nothing really happens, and that's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. Next mentioned in this article is another one that needs, that you have to put in there, and that's Clerks.
Yeah. I mean, things happen, but there's no plot.
Nothing. It just
kind of happened.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. There are plenty of pointless debates about Star Wars and career goals between a minimum wage worker and his friends. They stream in and out of the Quick Stop convenience store where character Dante works throughout the day. Kevin Smith's black and white, uber low budget comedy has no plot, but its familiar dialogue makes you feel like you're part of the clique in the movie. Yeah, that totally fits the bill where nothing happens.
I love when, you go over to the video store and it's Randall, and he's like, there's like a mom and her kid.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, I'm looking for a movie, The Happy Puppy. He's like, yeah, hold on one second. And he starts
ordering the porn.
Yeah, rattling off the porn names. And I was crying with laughter.
They did the same bit in the second one, too.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't care.
It's still funny.
Yeah.
Well, the second bit also has the amazing dance scene.
The amazing dance scene, which is awesome. I like the I think the second one's great.
It's super funny.
Yeah, I loved it. I liked it as much as the first one.
And you got Kinky Kelly and the sexy stud.
You got that, and you've got the whole Lord of the Rings. It's just a movie about walking. Even the trees walk in the movie. Now, I realize that that's taken from one of Kevin Smith's college appearances. Like, he did a whole bit about why the Holy Trilogy is so much better than Lord of the Rings. And he goes into that whole thing. So it's almost verbatim what Kevin Smith said at one of his appearances during his college tours. That's fine, but he put it in the movie and it's funny.
Super funny.
Yeah. Yeah, Clerks, definitely a movie where not much happens, but it's so good. It's so entertaining. So, here's Ike on WGN. Go ahead, Ike.
Hey, Nick, how's it going with you, man?
Good.
Yeah, this is a crime drama, but nothing really happens in it. There's not really a lot of action. There's nothing really going on. And what makes it worse is this is based on a classic TV show. And, of course, I'm talking about Miami Vice.
Yeah, I was with the movie version for about an hour. I was really with it. I thought the first hour and 10 was great. And then it just completely falls apart. And by the time they're just dancing and buying 20 mojitos, I was like, okay, I don't know what the hell's going on. I wasn't a big fan of the original show to me was fine. I just was not. I mean, when that show was on, it was the mid-80s and I wasn't home watching it. I was out. It was on Friday nights and I was not home. I was in my 20s and I was out. So
okay.
I didn't watch it. But all right. All right, Ike. Thanks, man.
No problem. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Michael Mann's Miami Vice.
You love the movie?
I love it. Yeah.
Like I said, I think it's great for. What is it? It's a long movie too, because it's a Michael Mann movie.
It's a little over 2 hours.
Okay, I was with it for about the first hour 15. Mm-hmm. And then it just, I was like, what?
Is it when they go to, they get in a go fast boat, which I did not realize until that movie was the actual name of a type of boat.
Yes.
And they go to Cuba.
That's it.
What do you like to drink? I'm a fiend for mojitos.
Yeah, that's it.
I love it.
That's it. That's where I'm like, huh?
There's some great shootouts, though.
There's great stuff in it. Yeah. And like I said, I was 100% in for the first part of the movie. I love the fact that it just dropped us right in the middle. Like there's no setup, there's nothing.
Yeah, the like title card isn't until the end of the movie.
It's like, but like you like plot. It's you got to catch up. Like yeah. He drops you right in the middle of what the hell's going on, and you're like, mm-hmm. And then you got to figure it out as you go along. And I love that. I thought that was great. And I'm a big Colin Farrell fan.
Yeah,
always have been, always will be. But it lost me. It lost me. I didn't hate it. I know it got terrible reviews and it made no money.
Yeah,
I didn't hate it, but I thought that was a movie that fell apart. It had such a great opening.
You know who went to bat for it though?
Who?
Manola Dargis from the New York Times.
Oh yeah,
she loves everything that Michael Mann does. Mm-hmm. Like she's a big fan of Public Enemies, big fan of Miami Vice, Collateral.
Yeah.
And out of those three, Collateral is by far the best and the most coherent.
Absolutely,
it's impeccable. But I like all three of those. That kind of mid-2000s work from Mann is really interesting.
Public Enemies I don't like, probably at all. But Miami Vice I like. I would recommend it and warn people that it falls apart near the end. I liked it more than Heat. I like Miami Vice more than Heat.
That.
I like Collateral more than Heat. Hell, I like The Keep more than Heat.
What about L.A. Takedown, the TV movie
version? I did not see L.A. Takedown. L.A. Takedown. All right, here's another movie where nothing happens. That's great. And obviously this one is one of the major inspirations for Linkletter and Dazed and Confused. That's American Graffiti. And how I felt about watching Dazed and Confused, because I was around Mitch Kramer's age in 1976. I was about a year younger than Mitchy. And I knew all those people and did all those things. So it was like, and all the music was unbelievable in Dazed and Confused. And I loved all the music. And it was music I grew up on, the classic rock of my youth that I loved and adored and listened to constantly. So the reaction that I had to Dazed is the reaction that my father had to American Graffiti. Like the exact reaction that my father had to American Graffiti, because that's like his generation's, my generation's American Graffiti is Dazed and Confused. So, I mean, it owes a great debt. There's no question that it owes a great debt to American Graffiti, but Dazed and Confused was like of my generation. But I remember my dad going nuts about what it was about, the time period it took place, the cars. He went nuts over all the cars in the movie. That's another thing in Dazed that also has great. It also has great cars. And the music, which is wall to wall.
I'm just waiting for someone to make one for my age group. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think that kind of movie is not getting made anymore.
Yeah. I think Slacker is of its time, but that's my age. That's like my generation.
Yeah, that's more Gen X.
Yeah. Clerks also Gen X.
Yeah, those are all Gen X. Yeah.
But we did a lot of the stuff. Hell, I wrote a play called Alive, and it was about it took place on two consecutive Fridays with six guys in an apartment drinking.
Yeah.
And just telling jokes. And no, I mean it was completely of its time. It was like a sort of a, you know, for lack of a better thing, I was inspired to write this by just me and the conversations I've had with my friends.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. That's what we did. That's what we put on stage. But American Graffiti, a classic. So anyway, all right, we got a lot more here to talk about. We got a bunch of texts coming in. We are talking about really good movies that where really nothing happens. And we'll continue talking about it after the news, which is after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means our regular Friday features will begin after the 3:30 news with Vic's Picks. We will do Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. All right. So we were talking about really good movies, great movies, where nothing really happens. It's just, nothing really happens. And they're good, though, but they're really good movies. So I've got a bunch of texts that are coming in, you guys. And if you want to jump in here, 312-981-7200 for your talk and text, I'll get to all those texts in a minute. And we're also checking out Ranker.com. They wrote an article listing a whole bunch of movies that really don't have much going on in terms of plot or anything like that. But yet they are, they're really good. So let's see. Here is, Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
I like two movies. So one movie is, not that old. It was The Big Night with Stanley Tucci, and it's about two Italian brothers.
Yep.
And one of the brothers tries to bring in Italian, true Italian cuisine, not American Italian.
Right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful movie.
It is a great movie. It's a great movie. Tony Shalhoub plays the other brother, and it is a great movie with one of the most beautiful endings that I've ever seen. Where these two brothers have just had like a big fight, and they have this really sort of awkward actual like fight, physical fight on the beach, and they end up back in the restaurant in the kitchen, and without saying a word. One brother makes eggs for the other brother, and it's just this beautiful moment with no words whatsoever, and the emotion on display in it is great. That is a great movie, great movie.
And the other one is A Thousand Crowns by Jason Robards.
Okay,
and that was wonderful. Where his sister says, "Can I leave, you know, my nephew with you for a day?"
Right,
and she did. Appears forever.
right. Yeah, that's a great one, too. That's a great one. All right, Linda, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much,
yeah. Take care, Linda. Have you seen Big Night?
I have not. I have not had the pleasure.
It is a great, really wonderful movie. And you know what? Just don't listen now. Don't watch it if you're hungry. Do not watch it on a full stomach. Because the massive Italian feast that is made and presented in the movie will kill you if you haven't eaten for a while. It is right at the top of the list of movies that could make you really hungry. And this was a great thing that they did back at the Bruin View when the movie came out 25 years ago or whatever, 24 years ago. They showed it at Bruin View, and there used to be an Italian restaurant right across the street from Bruin View. You could see the movie and then go to the restaurant afterwards and get that entire meal, every course recreated from the movie.
That's wild.
It was, I went one time. It was unbelievable. You know, your admission price included the dinner. So you would pay and then you'd watch the movie at the Bruin View. The entire audience would walk across the street to the restaurant and then get that entire meal served to you. It was incredible. And it's a really beautiful movie. And, Tucci directed it.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken. Hmm. I'm pretty sure Tucci directed it. You can look it up. Big Night. It's Tony Shalhoub, Campbell Scott. Campbell Scott, who, by the way, is hilarious in it.
Yeah, directed by Stanley Tucci and Campbell Scott.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Stanley Tucci and Campbell Scott. It's a really lovely, lovely movie. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. So good. All right. 708 area code says 12 Angry Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, although, kinda. I mean, there's, you know, it does lead to a big ending. Pat from Joliet says the one that comes to mind where nothing happens is The Big Lebowski. No, a lot of stuff happens in The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
The Big Lebowski is like an L.A. noir movie. It's
but all the stuff happens, but none of it has a point. Like, it never goes anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's their joke on it. It's like, yeah, it's like an L.A. noir where all these weird threads come up. It's just that the lead character is kind of too aloof to really care about what's happening.
It's specifically L.A. Yeah. Like, really specifically L.A. And I love the fact that they, you know, the movie came out in 1998, and it takes place when the first Gulf War breaks out, which I think that's just a very specific time to set something.
Market zero.
Yeah. 773 area code, my dinner with Andre. That's a great example. Great example. Two dudes talking in a restaurant for 2 hours. Well, one dude talking more than the other. Andre Gregory talks a lot more than Wallace Shawn does in that movie. Doc says, Nick, you mentioned the subject. My first thoughts went right to Richard Linklater. I too love Slacker. How about the trilogy of the Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy movies? Yeah, the Before trilogy totally fits in. And a great Richard Linklater movie that nobody saw, filmed in one room with long taped scenes, and that was taped. Tape. I love that movie. I love tape. Six people saw it. 224 Erica said, nothing happened in the Love Bug, I don't think. I don't remember. No, there's a big race in the Love
Herbie?
Bug.
Herbie?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a big race in the Love Bug. That's a major plot point. There's a couple of big races in it. Mm-hmm. Steve in Uniontown, PA, says, I think Smoke, starring William Hurt and Harvey Keitel, fits the bill perfectly. Yep. 312 area code, how about With Nail and I? Yeah, I guess that... I guess that does fit into the category. God, I love that movie. I love that movie. That is a movie you've seen with. Have you seen With Nail?
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. We talked about it, I want to say, a few months back.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it, but then I took the time.
Richard E. Grant is spectacular in that movie. And that is a movie that, you know, like, if you've ever worked with actors or if you've ever worked in theater, that is one of the movies that is... considered, you know, the Bible to actors. Like, it's the actors love With Nail and I, and for good reason. 708 area codes. Peggy Sue got married. Now there's time travel in that. There's plot stuff. Breakfast Club. Well, yeah, I would say Breakfast Club.
Yeah,
I mean they talk, but I mean there is, you know, at the end of the movie they all do have character arcs and they all change. 219 area code says, I thought Nebraska fits exactly what you were talking about. I don't know.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, there's a driving idea where they're going to get the prize or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not an event-heavy movie. It's mostly father and son, but I would say things happen.
Yeah. I love that movie, man.
It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, it's Alexander Payne, man.
Alex Payne, yeah.
Alexander Payne, I backed Downsizing. I know everybody hated that movie, but I liked it. And I think Alexander Payne, I don't think Alexander Payne has made a bad movie. I don't think he's made a movie that's not excellent. Downsizing, I will agree to this. I believe it's his weakest film. But if you look at stuff like The Descendants,
Election.
Come on, man.
That's 20 years, man. 20 years.
Election and
Citizen
Ruth.
Yeah, Citizen Ruth. Is, I mean, awesome.
Sideways goes without saying. I love his movies. I love his movies, and I love the way he writes. And I like Downsizing. I don't know. A movie called The Secret Garden. A little girl moves into a gorgeous mansion with her uncle. Beautifully filmed, Nothing Much Happened. It's a sweet movie, came out in the early 90s. Well, that's based on an old story, The Secret Garden. Okay, next in the Ranker article, Reservoir Dogs. I don't think this falls into the category.
I don't think it does either.
Just because there are long scenes where it's just guys talking. There's definitely a plot. There's definitely a conflict. There's definitely an arc. And there's an event. I mean, I know it's shown briefly and just in flashback.
But there's a heist.
There's a robbery that takes place. And, I mean, you get to see part of it. He does it in an unusual way. But and I don't think this one... I think Ranker's wrong on this one. You know, and the reason why is they just talk about the opening scene. The whole, like, a virgin thing, the tipping thing.
Yeah, that's...
But, I mean, that's not the whole movie. If they just sat at that table and talked about a robbery for an hour and a half, then, yeah.
Yeah, I think the litmus test that you have to give is, can you give a movie a sequence of events that, like, are like, and then this, and then this, and then this?
Like, moving the plot along.
Moving the plot along as they try to, because the whole thing is they're trying to unravel who the rat is.
Right, who the rat is, and, you know, there is this wonderfully written and performed relationship between Tim Roth's character and Harvey Keitel's character that is the core of the movie.
Are you a doctor?
That stuff happens. I disagree with Ranker on this one. I mean, yes, there are scenes where guys just talk and don't do anything for a while. But I don't think that this is where nothing happens. Well, you're going to have to comment on this one because I only saw it once and I hated it. And they put Napoleon Dynamite in the article.
I don't think that's fair. I think things definitely happen. Like, there's a...
Doesn't he win something, or doesn't he dance or some crap?
Yeah, I mean, he...
Does Pedro win?
Pedro wins.
Okay, that's something right there.
Yeah.
Something right there.
I mean, the plot itself doesn't really kick in for a long time, and there are periods of that movie where nothing is really happening. And there's not... No, there's not an overarching plot, but, like, I guess... It's more on the end of nothing really happening than Reservoir Dogs, but I wouldn't say it's like Dazed and Confused.
It says this comedy examines what it's like to be a socially awkward high schooler. Honestly, the most significant event in the movie is Pedro's successful campaign for student body president. He wins even though he gives the worst speech ever. There are many cringeworthy moments throughout, but plenty of laughs.
I don't know how you don't find that movie funny, especially Uncle Rico.
I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I hated it. I hated it. What's really weird is, who are the guys behind that? No, Jared Hess directed.
Jared Hess and Jerusha, his wife.
Okay, but who wrote it?
Jared Hess and Jerusha.
So they wrote it and Hess directed it.
Yeah.
Okay, so because I hate that movie, but I loved Nacho Libre.
Have you seen Gentleman Broncos?
Yes, I like Gentleman Broncos.
Yeah.
But Nacho Libre, which is a movie that got destroyed by the critics... I laughed my ass off during that movie. Get that corn out of my face! When he tries to bring the Mexican corn to him. Get that corn out of my face! It's one of my favorite Jack Black performances. That movie kills me. But then the Napoleon Dynamite team, I think everything but Napoleon Dynamite I've liked.
That's shocking. That's shocking.
Because I love Nacho Libre. I like Gentleman Broncos. What else did they do?
Masterminds.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I didn't like that.
I think Jared Hess did Masterminds. Don Verdon with what's his name? Bob Fosse, the guy who plays Bob Fosse in the show.
Sam Rockwell?
Yeah, Sam Rockwell's in it. He did. It's a weird little one. I don't think it got a wide release.
I would have known. I mean, Sam Rockwell's in it. I would have known. But no, I don't think I saw it. But yeah, Napoleon Dynamite, man.
I agree with you on Nacho Libre, though. Unfairly hated.
Oh, God, that movie.
Chancho, let me borrow your sweats.
That movie killed me. I laughed so hard during that movie. I also happen to be a really big fan of wrestling, particularly luchador wrestling. So that, I was like, I really loved that aspect of it. Yeah. But get that corn out of my face! That's my favorite. He slaps the corn out of his hand.
Is like the like motorcycle he builds with the like shopping cart. Love it.
It's a funny movie, man. All right. We are talking about movies where nothing happens, but they're still really, really good. 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. Get your texts in. We'll read them. Movies where nothing really happens, but they're good. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What's going on? It's Friday morning. All of our regular Friday features are going to start at 3:30 with Vic's Picks. Then we'll move on to You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. You want to get a request in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Coming up at 6 o'clock, Steve Cochran has your Friday morning drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here in WGN. All right, so we are talking about really great movies where nothing really happens. And Ranker.com put together an article and listed some of them. And some are good choices and some not so much. We found a couple here that really don't fit into the category. Now, by the way, I just wanted to say, Gail, who is our listener, posted on our Facebook page the following. Hey, just a heads up. There's a horse named Wooderson running this weekend at Saratoga at the Woodward Stakes. If you're a betting man, you should. He's a big long shot, too.
Come on. I'll put 20 down.
How can you not bet on a horse named Wooderson? Somebody better call Matthew McConaughey. All right. That's great. All right.
Got to play those ponies.
Yeah. Wooderson. First of all, I love the owner of the horse to name the horse Wooderson. All right, we're talking about movies that are really good, even though nothing really happens in them. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Morning, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
How about Casablanca?
Oh.
People hang around a bar the whole movie.
Yeah, but a lot happens.
What?
There's a lot of hanging around the bar, but a lot happens.
Hey, Rick, give me a passport. That's the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great movie. It's all about character.
Yeah. All right. That's interesting. Interesting take. Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Okay, man. I don't necessarily agree with this one that Ranker put in here, but the explanation is kind of like, oh, I don't agree with it, but I could kind of see it. They picked Forrest Gump as a movie where nothing happens. And their thoughts here is that because essentially he is in present tense, he's just sitting on a bench talking. So the stuff is all, this is what this is what I mean, the stuff is all told in flashback as they insert Forrest into the events. Now, granted, you know, obviously there's a civil rights movement, the Vietnam War, Elvis, Watergate, AIDS, all of that stuff is in the movie. But basically, it's a guy sitting on a bench, bugging somebody who comes to sit next to him. And it's not until he gets off the bus and gets to Jenny's that something actively happens. You know what I mean? So this is an interesting, I think it's an interesting take. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think it's an interesting take.
I'll hear that argument.
I just think it's really an interesting take. It's like, yeah, you know what? The movie's 2.5 hours long, and for about 2 hours and 10 minutes, he's just sitting on a bench bugging people with his story. So I think that's a unique view of Forrest Gump. Next one is Taxi Driver. I want to hear this explanation as to why they think nothing really happens in Taxi Driver. Taxi Driver is both classic neo-noir watching and an extremist vision come to life. The main character, Travis Bickle, played by Robert De Niro, obviously, drives around New York City wishing for the day when a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the streets. Scorsese's film is about loneliness, isolation, and delusion. Bickle is a menacing figure who means well, but still represents the darkness of human nature. How does that justify you saying that nothing happens in it? And yes, of course the film, it's the best movie ever made about loneliness and isolation. There's never been a better movie that portrayed loneliness and isolation better than Taxi Driver. Never. It's one of the reasons why I respond to it so strongly. But no, things happen in that movie. There are character arcs in that movie. So I don't agree with that. I don't. The Big Chill. This one I'm kind of with. In The Big Chill, a man takes his own life, spurring a group of old college friends to attend the funeral. Many of them haven't seen each other in 15 years. They get together for the weekend and talk, working through a range of emotions. The setting forces them to face the state of their respective personal affairs. And the movie is known for its rockin' soundtrack. I would, you know what? That's legit. That's a legit argument for nothing happening in the movie.
Yeah, I'm not even a big fan of The Big Chill.
Oh, neither am I. The soundtrack was great. You hadn't heard it was weird because when that movie came out in 1983, nobody was listening to Motown. You know, it was not there. That was like when the Blues Brothers came out. When the Blues Brothers came out in 1980, nobody was listening to James Brown. Nobody was listening to Aretha Franklin. Nobody cared about Cab Calloway. That's the one thing that I really love about the Blues Brothers is that it brought attention to these artists, to the mainstream. And I love that. I love that it was, you know, that Aykroyd and John Landis, and they were so, they wanted those artists to be in the movie and to be showcased to an audience that just didn't care. Because in 1980, nobody cared about that. And they became popular after that. Again, there was a resurgence in popularity in like these legendary, you know, R&B and mostly African-American artists.
And it's weird to think that there was a period of time where people like weren't listening to Motown. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. When that freaks me out. When the Big Chill came out, I mean, when the Big Chill came out, the soundtrack was massive. And at that time, nobody was listening to Motown. It was in 1983. Everybody was either, you know, the hair metal started around there. New wave was everywhere. There was pop. But nobody was really going back. The oldie stations, you could hear some Motown, but it wasn't selling. Like the younger generation or the generation that would spend money on movies or any kind of, you know, albums or anything like that, they were not listening to or embracing old music. So nobody was listening to Motown. And when that album came out, when the soundtrack to Big Chill came out, all that changed. So
that's wild to me.
That's true, though. It's absolutely true.
I believe it.
Yeah, and we were coming off of disco, too. We were coming off a disco, and nobody was like listening to Motown at that time. So there was a long stretch of time when Motown was not popular. So we can thank Kaz Dan for that.
Just not for the movie itself.
Not for the movie itself. Okay, we are going to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk more about movies where nothing really happens, but they're still really good. The news is coming up right now. Welcome. Welcome. Hello. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features are coming up. Vic's Picks coming up at 3:30 after the news, and straight out of contest, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. All right. You guys want to get your calls in and your texts in now, because we are talking about movies where nothing really happens, but they're really good anyway. Nothing happens, but they're good. 312-981-7200. Got some texts here. Let me go through some of these texts, and we'll jump back into the ranker.com list and article. 847 area code rope. It all takes place in one location. But there is like a mystery that has to be solved. So,
yeah, and I mean, things happen to get to that point.
Yeah.
Like, it's a series. It's one of those things that just because things happen in a closed environment,
yeah,
doesn't mean nothing's happening. Like,
right.
There are certain points that you can draw to when you look at the story.
What about 724 area code says Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
I don't think I've ever actually seen that movie in its entirety.
You're not missing anything. I'm way in the minority on that, especially mm-hmm. somebody of my age, because that movie came out when I was in high school, and I'm supposed to love it, but I hate it. I don't think it's particularly funny. My favorite thing in it, my two favorite things in it, are Sean Penn, who's great in it. And Ray Walston as Mr. Hand. That the stuff between them I really like, and I really think he's funny in it. I think they're both very good mm-hmm. in it.
Well, what about what's her name coming out of the pool?
Phoebe Cates coming out of the pool is of course, you know, I was 16 when that movie came out? 17? 16 or 17 when it came out. So of course that was more like just get the videotape and rewind that scene over and over again and not even watch the movie. Of course, I will say this. People around my age and even younger, whenever you hear Moving in Stereo, that's the first thing you think of. There's, I mean, you don't think of anything. I don't think of anything. If I hear Moving in Stereo, if I hear Moving in Stereo begin, the first thing that pops into my mind is Phoebe Cates coming out of that pool with the red bikini on.
I mean, even my age, if
yeah,
that's like one of the only scenes I've ever caught on like well, unfortunately, it's on TV usually, so you don't get the whole.
Oh, you don't get the whole deal?
No, I don't think I've ever seen that scene where she's actually topless.
Oh man! All right.
I can figure what it would probably look
like. It looks though. Great.
10 out of 10.
But I just don't like that movie, man. I don't like the tone of it. I don't think it's funny.
I wish I could
get... I think some of the characters are really despicable.
I wish I could get a copy of the book that Cameron Crowe wrote.
Yeah,
totally out of print because I'd love to see how he phrased it.
And, you know, I really had an issue with the treatment of Jennifer Jason Leigh's character in it. I was very uncomfortable watching that movie and what she goes through, what her character goes through. But lots of stuff happens in Fast Time at Ridgemont High. I don't think nothing happens. 773 area code. How about Fargo?
No. Not at all. Tons of stuff happens in that movie. Yeah. Holy cow. There's a whole robbery. There's a whole kidnapping.
Yeah. There's a wood chipper scene.
The wood chipper.
He's fleeing the interview. He's fleeing the interview. All right. We got some more here from Ranker.com. Kids. While there is no real plot in Kids, it's not for the faint of heart. The film explores the lives of a group of reckless, sexually active, substance-abusing teenagers in New York City. Oh, and it takes place at the height of the AIDS scare of the mid-90s. The film is a trademark of writer Harmony Korine's often dark and unclear themes. It's directed by Larry Clark, featuring early performances by Rosario Dawson and Chloe Sevigny. Not one of my favorite movies. Was not a big fan of it. Didn't do much for me. And there's not really a lot. They're right about this. That's pretty. It is essentially a plotless movie. But they're right about that. How about this one? Lost in Translation. Did you think that Bob and Charlotte would eventually hook up at some point in the movie? Spoiler alert, they never do. Instead, director Sofia Coppola explores the themes like alienation and loneliness. The characters share a secret whisper and a short kiss. But I totally agree that this not much happens in Lost in Translation. A lot happens emotionally, but not much happens in that movie. I totally agree with that. And I think Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson are just spectacular in it. And I love that movie. I think Sofia Coppola did such a wonderful job. Anna Faris is really great in it. So is Giovanni Ribisi. I think it's a wonderful movie. But I agree. Not much happens in it. Like in terms of your standard Hollywood movie that goes from A to B to C to D. Not much happens. But that is a great movie. That is a truly great movie. So when I met Sofia Coppola, she came to town, and my old partner Gary Lee Wright and I interviewed her. And I saw Lost in Translation. They screened it for us, and I saw it the day before we interviewed her. And I can't explain to you just how luminous she was when she walked into the room. She was just lovely. And I've always gone to bat for Sofia Coppola because I think she took such crap for The Godfather Part 3, you know, and she ruined the movie.
It's not really her fault.
It's not her fault at all.
Like Winona Ryder would have been so much better with that material.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And everybody was like, you know, Coppola nepotism. Maybe it was, whatever. She's not great in the movie. Not very good in the movie.
Because she's not an actor.
But no, she's a filmmaker. And so, you know, but I always was like, man, I always felt she got so unfairly raked over the coals for that. Because there was a lot more wrong with The Godfather Part 3 than her. There were so many more problems than the casting of Sofia Coppola with that movie. You know, one of them being Pacino's hair. now, there are things I like about that movie. I don't think it's as bad as everybody claims it is.
Yeah.
Because personally, I think Andy Garcia is great in it.
He does a very good job. Joe Mantegna.
Joe Mantegna's great.
Joe Mantegna. That's how you say his name?
Mantegna.
I always say Mantegna.
The G is silence. The G is silence. Mantegna. Yeah.
Damn.
Was he Joey Saza? but yeah, she was not the problem. So when I met her, when I saw Lost in Translation, I was like, oh, this is going to be weird. Sofia Coppola. Because I was like, I don't know. How is this going to turn out? And she knocked it out of the park. Like, it's her first movie. And it's great. It's great. And so when I met her, and she was so lovely and just wonderful, I fell in love with her. And she was very excited because we were in the Showcase studio, and she was very excited because she was doing a press tour. So she was going from different TVs and radio stations to the press tour. And she was very excited because this was her last stop before she got to go to the Billy Goat. And that's what she was most excited about. Like, she was a great interview. She was a fantastic interview. We talked about the movie. We talked about her career. We talked about Godfather Part 3. She was very honest about it, and she was not, you know, she did not get angry or tense up when we mentioned it. She was lovely and intelligent and made a great, great, great directorial debut with that movie. But, you know, she was so excited about the Billy Goat. She's like, is the Billy Goat really right across the street? I'm like, yeah, you got to go downstairs. It's right directly across from where we're sitting. We are sitting in the Showcase studio. You turn around. I told her to turn around. Look at the staircase directly across the street. You go down that staircase, you're at the Billy Goat. And she was just like beside herself. She was so excited. And after she left, the publicist that was with her, they go outside, and she kind of looks through the window, and I wave at her, and she waves at me, and she's so excited to cross the street because she's going down the stairs to the Billy Goat. Now, I don't know what her impression of the Billy Goat was. I've not, you know, obviously not.
I'm guessing great.
I would imagine great. Yeah. But she could not. She, like, during commercials, she was so, she could not contain herself about how excited she was about going to the Billy Goat.
No. One of my favorites is The Virgin Suicides.
I love that movie, too. I love that movie. Look, man, the only movie that she made that I don't like is Somewhere.
What about The Bling Ring?
She didn't make that, did she?
I think so.
But no, I don't think that's her. Oh, is that her? No.
Yeah, that's her.
Okay, I like that movie, too. I like The Bling Ring. I love Marie Antoinette, and I know everybody hates that movie.
Marie Antoinette's awesome.
It's a great movie.
Unfairly evaluated.
Absolutely.
And it's time.
Absolutely. And just Somewhere is the only movie that she's made that I don't like. And I hated that movie. I hated that movie. That's a movie where nothing happens. I mean, like, seriously, nothing happens in that movie. And Stephen Dorff, oh, man, would I like to smack him right across the face. If it wasn't for Blade, that guy would be useless. Would be completely useless if it wasn't for Blade. Well, you know what? True Detective. He was really, really great on True Detective. I'll tell you some stories about Stephen Dorff. Yeah, my friend Mike View worked with him on Dillinger movie, The Public's Enemies. I've got some stories I can tell you. I'm not going to tell you on the air. But I have some stories I can tell you about Stephen Dorff. Here's David on WGN. Hey, David.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right, what's up?
Hey, what about Stand By Me? I mean, the only thing that does happen is the hunt for the dead body, but I think that...
Yeah, you know what?
No,
that's a good choice. That's a good choice. It's just like these kids bonding, talking, having an adventure, but nothing really happens, and nothing really changes. Like,
exactly. I mean, finding the body is minute, and you walk away from the whole thing remembering your own childhood and what you took for granted. I mean, how often did we get to spend that day just wandering around and doing what we wanted to do?
No, that's a good
point. Coming home and lying about it.
I agree with you, David. That's a good one, man. I never would have that one would have never popped into my head, but I agree with you. That's a great one. And it's a really good movie, too.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good movie. Have you read The Body?
Yeah. I read I think it was a couple of years ago when we were still at Trib Tower. That's different seasons, right? Yeah, cuz I went through a real Stephen King phase for a minute. And I got different seasons, which it's three out of the four stories in that were made into movies.
Right.
Because it's Shawshank, it's Apt Pupil.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good movie.
is a great movie.
Yep.
The Body, which is Stand By Me, and then the only one that was never made into a movie was The Breathing Method.
Right.
Yeah, no, I like The Body. That was really
I thought The Body was really good, and it did a nice sentimental job with it.
Yeah, I like when Stephen King doesn't write horror. I love when he writes horror, but I think he's a very talented guy, and when he doesn't do horror, I think he has a real warmth to him.
Yeah. I'm a you know, as far as like the anthology or the short stories and stuff, I'm a Night Shift guy.
Does that have The Mist in it?
No.
Okay, that's not The Mist.
No, Night Shift has Graveyard Shift, it's got The Ledge, Lawnmower Man, geez, I can't even remember.
The Ledge is terrifying.
Ledge is great.
I love it.
So, all right, let's break here, and then we'll come back, and we're going to wrap this all up. So if you want to jump in here with really good movies that where really nothing happens, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, welcome back. I love these lyrics. Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. My guess is the jail?
No.
That would be my guess. Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. Yeah, the jail.
Sherlock?
Yeah. I'm not dissing on Thin Lizzy because I love Thin Lizzy. All right. We are talking about movies that are good, even though they really don't have any sort of plot. Next here, on the ranker.com, they pick Diner, which I think is a solid choice. Barry Levinson's feature debut film set in 1959. It's about a group of old high school friends who meet up to attend a wedding. Most of the movie is improvised and takes place inside a diner. The friends mostly just sit around and discuss their struggles with adulthood. Diner is one of those films with which audiences can identify and relate with the character's struggles. I love that movie.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
And that's one of those actor generation movies, you know, where they got like a bunch of guys from like a certain generation of actors that all wind up in the same movie.
Yeah. Because you got Bacon, you got Mickey Rourke, you got Paul Reiser, Steve Guttenberg, Ellen Barkin, Tim Daly. No, wait. Is it Tim Daly? Because I always get him and the other guy, Steven Weber, mixed up. I get the two guys from Wings. I get those guys mixed up all the time. Tim Daly, I think, is in it. It's Tim Daly.
Yeah, it is Tim Daly. You say Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern is in it. Daniel Stern is in two of my top five required guy movies.
Chud?
No, not Chud. No, you've heard my list of my top five, my required the best five guy movies ever.
I know one of them is Diner, then it's the bike one.
Breaking Away.
Those
are both Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
Sam Bottoms is in two of them too, which is really weird because Daniel Stern is in two of them. He's in Diner and he's in Breaking Away. And then there's Fandango, directed by Kevin Reynolds. Again, the director that nobody sees his movies. Sam Bottoms is in that. And then there is Beautiful Girls, with Matt Dillon and Timothy Hutton, Michael Rapaport. Sam Bottoms is in that. So, and then number five, as I mentioned a million times, is a great movie with a terrible title, and it's Hanging with the Homeboys. Terrible title. I'd be the first to admit that is an absolutely terrible title, but it's such a great movie. Those are the five my top five guy movies. All right, next here on the Ranker article is The Station Agent. I totally agree with that. And that is a great movie.
Awesome early performance from Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. All right, how about this? The Thin Red Line.
That's a push.
It is, but I guess because Malick's style is so, you know, non-linear.
Yeah, but you have to, like, it has a central idea.
It does.
They're charging the hill.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the main thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And then everything else
is
around
that. I can see that. I think there's more to it than just like not having a plot. Well, there's a lot more to it than having a plot because it's a brilliant movie.
Better than Saving Private Ryan.
It is much better than Saving I don't even think they could be mentioned in the... Quite frankly, I don't even think they could be mentioned in the same sentence.
A lot of people have crucified me for that because they think The Thin Red Line is a bunch of art school BS.
No. Thin Red Line is not even in the same ballpark. I mean, I'm sorry, Saving Private Ryan's not even in the same ballpark. It's not even the same city outside of that ballpark. They mentioned Boyhood. I don't know. I think a lot happens in Boyhood.
Yeah, but like, if you describe, what's that movie, what's the plot of that movie? A boy grows up.
A boy grows up, right.
That's it.
And it's Linklater, so obviously. And then right after that, they mentioned the Before trilogy, which we talked about.
I love all three of those.
I do, too.
Some of the most heartbreaking depictions of love I've ever seen.
Especially the third one, man.
Yeah, Before Midnight.
The third one is devastating. The third one is devastating. The Straight Story. Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the lawnmower, going to go see my brother. That's about it. And yet, that's a really beautiful movie. They mentioned Slacker again. My Dinner with Andre. Barfly. Oh, man, do I love this movie. Oh, man. Listen. As a former drunk, this right here, Barfly, and obviously Bukowski wrote it, but Barbet Schroeder directed the hell out of this movie, and it is one of the most accurate movies ever made about drinking, which we would expect from Bukowski. Mickey Rourke is fantastic. It's my favorite Mickey Rourke performance.
My mom loves that movie.
It's so good. Faye Dunaway, and of course Frank Stallone.
You know, me and Jeff in the PPG Paints green room were talking about Frank Stallone.
Talking about Frank Stallone?
Yeah, he said he was actually like pretty good buddies with him. Like,
wow.
He was Jeff's met a lot of famous people.
He has.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Tuckman. Squid and the Whale.
That is a Jesse Eisenberg on the rise.
I love that movie. You Can Count on Me. A lot happens in that movie. Kenneth Lonergan? Oh, Somewhere. They include Somewhere here. Frances Ha. Oh, I would agree with that.
It's awesome, too.
Well, it's great.
Greta Gerwig is a queen.
She is. Very excited about Little Women.
It's going to be great.
Trevor from Antioch says, how about the movie Friday? Oh, that's perfect. All of the Friday movies. What is it? Next Friday and the Friday After Next, right? Are those are the sequels?
Yeah, it's Friday, Next Friday, and the Friday After Next. Friday is just ridiculous.
Friday is awesome. It's awesome. How about Trainspotting?
What? So much happens in that movie.
Too much happens in that movie.
It's an overload of things happening.
Trucker Rob, does Thelma and Louise qualify? No, there's a definite arc and an ending. Remains of the Day. Which is actually one of my favorite Anthony Hopkins performances. He's great in that movie.
Yeah. Based on the book by, I want to say it's Kazuo Ishiguro?
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
I couldn't believe that last year was the first time that, why am I blanking on his name? Merchant Ivory, James Ivory. The first time that he'd ever won an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
He won for Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? How is it possible that this guy has never won an Oscar before? I just assumed he had like eight of them, considering those Merchant Ivory movies were all nominated for everything. So, all right. All right, we're going to break here. You want to check out the article. The entire article is on our Facebook page. It's linked up there. So facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, we're going to take a break. The news is coming up. And then after the news, Vic's Picks. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories of a beautiful downtown Chicago, and it's Friday, and that means we are starting with all of our Friday features. Coming up, we've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. If you want to get your Fly Jam requests in, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, but we're going to start off with Vic's Picks. Vic Vaughn, who's in our newsroom. Didn't have a lot of musical knowledge and decided he wanted to change that. And so he looked up the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone, and decided he was going to listen to all of them, take some notes, learn about things, and then get that musical knowledge that he wanted. And so that's what he's been doing. And we've been covering Vic's picks and his thoughts on some albums that he's listening to every Friday morning after the 3:30 news. So let's begin.
Albums. One, Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
All right. Well, there it is. There's the official introduction. Vic, let's dive right in. Which ones are we going to talk about? Which one are we first going to talk about?
All right. First, I got to mention, I got to skip number 16, Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan. It's a great album, but it's one that I knew very well. I had listened to that album quite a bit, so I skipped it because I'm trying to learn here. So number 15, Are You Experienced by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. It was my first listen to this one. You know, obviously, an American English rock band led by frontman Jimi Hendrix. And, you know, I've listened to one before, and I love Jimi Hendrix so far. I listened to one other album. But this one's their debut studio album. And, you know, the band Hendrix, the frontman, you had the drummer Mitch Mitchell and then bassist Noel Redding. They were in the studio about 6 months. They did it in London, and then they started work on this one in October of 1966, and then the album came out in April of 67 by Track Records, same manager of The Who, another band I fell in love with after listening an album earlier on this endeavor. But on its release date, Hendrix was only about 2.5 years away from his eventual death, just to kind of get a mind's eye of where his life was with the release of this record. He didn't live much longer after this record. It's a genre of rock, psychedelic rock, that was, you know, at least inspired by, and correct me here if I'm wrong, but perhaps was even meant to, in a sense, reproduce, I guess, the effects of psychedelic drugs.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
But this album, from what I read, is a game changer, according to what I read, for the guitar itself and its, you know, the instrument's place in rock and roll music. But not only a game changer for the guitar itself and its place in rock and roll, but also for, you know, psychedelic rock. So Tom has a little bit from the lead off track, Purple Haze. Whoa.
Now, had you never heard that song before?
Yeah, I have. I had heard
parts
of it, you know. I never played it, never listened to it. I like to say, a lot, you know, some of these songs you can't get away from.
Right.
They have came through your ears before, but I've never played Jimi Hendrix myself. I just wasn't into it. So I don't think I'd ever listened to that song all the way through before. But I also read that for a lot of people, that song was their first introduction to Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, he'd been playing out with bands for a couple of years before this album. I read that he even played with Little Richard, another amazing artist that I listened to an album to not too long ago. But he wasn't widely known yet, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, I read something really interesting about Hendrix that I didn't know. He was from Seattle. He joined the Army. Did you know that? I didn't know that. And he was discharged a year later. But I started thinking, what if he had stayed in? I mean, we may have never had Jimi Hendrix music.
Yeah.
Well, did you read why he was discharged?
No, I did not.
It was listed as for homosexual tendencies.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he'd still be enlisted today if that was the case.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's interesting. Wow. No, I didn't know that. I like to read about these artists, but I can't get too sidetracked. I try to stay with the music because there's a lot of albums that I haven't listened to and I want to get to them. But I do. I can't help it. I have to look into them a little bit. It's just so fun. But yeah, his career in music didn't take off until he was discovered by British folk model and Keith Richards' girlfriend at the time, Linda Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a big deal for this album, though, because after he met her, he moved to London. She introduced him to Chaz Chandler, and then he's the former bass player for the Animals, who I have not listened to yet. But I'll fix that soon. But anyway, Chaz Chandler becomes Jimi Hendrix producer slash manager. And in less than a year, Hendrix, over there in the UK, he has three top 10 hits. So that's kind of the backstory on this. But Purple Haze was one of those hits. Here's another one called Hey Joe. That's Jeannie's favorite song, actually.
Is it really?
I was listening and studying, and she heard it from the kitchen and said, that's my favorite song.
I said, who's going to kill his woman?
Going down to shoot my old lady.
Yep, Jeannie loves it. So said, well, I'll put it in there. So that's for Jeannie. But his voice is great, too. I love Jimi Hendrix. Mm. I can't get enough of it. And I was telling Jeannie, I know it sounds corny, but I'll say it because it's true. I just feel cooler just listening to Hendrix, you know? And I told her that, and she was like, no, I get it. But, man, I really have fallen in love with his music. He was an innovator on the guitar, as I read more about him. Just, I read about the Hendrix, quote-unquote Hendrix chord, his use of bending the strings, the way he also wrapped his thumb over the top of the guitar neck and use it on the fretboard, his use of distortion pedals. I'd need a guitarist to help me understand anything more about that stuff, but he's amazing to me. But Third Stone from the Sun, I thought was a really trippy song. I asked Tom to play a little bit of it.
My favorite song on the album.
Is it really?
It's my favorite song on the album, yeah.
It's nearly 7 minutes long.
It's an incredible song.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's up there. I'll definitely go back and listen to that one every now and then. That's a great song. Mostly instrumental, but he does speak some lyrics, I guess, too, in there. Incorporates jazz with the psychedelic rock. But I thought it was a good example, I think, of how Hendrix liked to kind of push people. I've heard Tom say it before with movies, too, or other albums, sorry. He kind of liked to push people into places they didn't necessarily want to go musically. You know, it's not like you've used the term. It's not as accessible as some other music, but that's why I like it, I guess. But he worked on that song for a few years, I read, before he even moved to London. But let's wrap up real quickly. The RU Experienced album, with one that's hard to forget once you hear it. One he played at his live concerts live a lot, I guess. But it's a blues song Hendrix wrote called Red House. What do you think about that one?
Oh, it's a great song.
Oh, I love that's my favorite one on this album. But anyway, Jimi Hendrix, I don't know where we're at on time, but Jimi Hendrix, his music, I mean, it's amazing to me. And the first album I listened to, of course, Electric Ladyland, still my favorite Hendrix album, but I loved it.
It's Electric Ladyland has my favorite Hendrix song.
Which one's that?
It's Voodoo Child, Slight Return.
Oh, yeah.
It is my favorite. And I just want to suggest, because I sometimes want to throw some stuff at you.
Please.
If you like Jimi Hendrix, a guitarist that came along years later, who was clearly influenced by him, and in fact did an unbelievable cover of Voodoo Child. It was a regular song on his set list when he played live, was the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan.
You know what? I have listened to some of his stuff lately, and Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I need to listen to more, yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, if you like Jimi Hendrix as much as I think you like Jimi
Hendrix.
Yes,
I love it.
You need to
listen to it. It's the guitar. I mean, that's why I love that last song, Red House. I mean, you know, it's blues, but man, the way he plays it.
Yeah, and nobody came close to what Hendrix did except for Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
Who came real close.
Awesome.
So, all right, cool. That's Are You Experienced by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And we're going to come back, and we got one more album to talk about as Vic continues with Vic's Picks. I'm in a different city, y'all. If I stay too long, the people try to pull me down. Talk about me like a dog. Talk about the clothes I'm wearing. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio here on WGN on a Friday morning. We're starting our Friday features. We're in the middle of Vic's Picks, and coming up, we've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and also coming up, The Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, let's continue with Vic's Picks as we go through the albums that Vic has been listening to. What's next?
Number 14 on this list, Abbey Road by the Beatles. And you know what? I met Tom Hush by the coffee machine yesterday, and he brought it to my attention that next month marks 50th anniversary of the release of this album.
Yep.
And BBC Radio 2 is doing something pretty cool, too. They're going to broadcast from the Abbey Road Studios in London, where the Beatles recorded this in 1969. And they'll be there from Thursday, the 26th of September, through Sunday, the 29th, broadcasting from there. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I listened to the complete album, Abbey Road album. And for those like me who haven't been into music much throughout their life, this is the one where, you know, the cover art with the members of the Beatles, Ringo, Paul, George, John Lennon, all crossing the street in that black and white crosswalk. That was right outside Abbey Road Studios, where they worked on this.
Right.
I've obviously heard some of the songs, but not all of them. Some of them were brand new to me. I heard some of the songs for the first time about this week. So it took the Beatles most of the year in 1969 to complete this album. Started working on it again at Abbey Road Studios late February of 69. It was released later that year in September. It's the Beatles' 11th studio album, and it was, we were talking about it before. This is basically the last album they were right in the studio together.
Yeah.
Did I get that?
Yeah, Let It Be came out after, but this was the last album they recorded.
Right. Okay. You set me straight on that one, because it was a little confusing when I was reading that one, but yeah. I know, you know, like I haven't listened to Let It Be yet, but and I don't think it's on this list, but I'll get
it's
to that.
It's not.
One. Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
I will get to that one. But yeah, again, released September 69 by Apple Records. That's the label they made, right?
Yep.
Okay. Right, and that was after their manager died, Brian Epstein died. Tom has a little from the lead-off track on this album, Come Together. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. Come together right now over me. You know, this one thing I was, I'm going to have to read a lot more about these guys, but a lot of the songs, like for instance, that one, I've read, you know, a bunch of different sites and from a bunch of different critics, and it said it was written by John Lennon, but when I look at the credits, it says John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
That's often the way almost all of the songs are listed. They're listed, most of them are listed as Lennon McCartney. When in fact you can tell the Paul songs from the John songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. That's a John song. that's a John song.
Okay, I'm sure I'll learn to identify those but they, as that's I continue just the, listening.
Yeah, no, that's just that's the way that they were it was billed. It was always Lennon McCartney, but there obviously were songs that were more led by one than the other.
Actually, it makes sense to me now because of something I watched on a video today where it was talking about how money's made. I don't know about now. I don't know anything about how it's made now with musicians, but at least when this came out, it was basically about who wrote the song usually got the most money. So maybe that's why they did it. They put both their names on there.
Yeah, it became a thing. It was like Lennon and McCartney. It's like when you know, like on all the Zeppelin records, it's always Page and Plant.
Yeah, okay.
And that's kind of a thing that started with Lennon and McCartney.
Mm. Well, I wanted to fit in a little from the next song on the album, too. It's an amazing song called Something. Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. that one written by George Harrison.
That's right.
And whoa, that one blew me away. I've heard it before, obviously, but really listening to it, learning about who wrote it, and then I just got sidetracked and started. Now I want to listen to everything George Harrison did because I really love that song.
Yeah,
maybe my favorite one on this album, actually.
All Things Must Pass. That's the incredible, probably the best album that George Harrison had ever put out.
Okay. It's like a what's it called?
It's a triple album.
It's called All Things Must Pass.
Okay.
And it's a remarkable record. It really is. Yeah.
I can't wait because this song, I loved it. You know, and it was cool learning that George Harrison wrote it. I want to dig into George Harrison more, but that song was one of the moments where George, from what I read, George Harrison really began to shine in the band. That's kind of when he, you know, took him out from under McCartney and Lennon's shadow as songwriters.
Well, he also wrote "Here Comes the Sun," which appears on Abbey Road, and that also was just as equally loved as the rest of the
record. Oh yeah, and we're gonna get to that one, but so. Let's get a little from the fourth song on Abbey Road. It was composed by Paul McCartney, again accredited to both he and Lennon, but "Oh Darling."
Oh darling, please believe me, I'll never do you no harm.
Yep, Abbey Road. I love this whole album, Nick. It's one of my favorites.
And I do want to mention very quickly before we break, because we got a couple extra spots here to do before the news, the masterpiece of side two of Abbey Road. I think when you talk about Abbey Road, you got to talk about side two. Side two is an extraordinary piece of work, and it's all sculpted by Paul McCartney. Side two is all Paul, and all the songs are connected. It's all like one big, beautiful suite. And the best way to listen to side two of Abbey Road is from the beginning to the end.
Straight through, yeah.
It's okay. Amazing. It's an amazing record.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, man, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up after this.
Here's the dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy!
Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here. How you doing? We are live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And we are here until 5 a.m. We're doing our regular features here, our regular Friday features. And this is You Big Dummy. This is where I read some real news stories about some real dumb people doing some real dumb stuff. Real dumb stuff. I mean real dumb stuff. And then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Tom will vote, I'll vote, and then you, first person through at 312-981-7200, will be our third vote. That's how it works. So, yeah. Let's get started. Dummy number one. A video shows the moment a boater heading out into the ocean during Hurricane Dorian was nearly knocked into the rough water in St. Thomas. Instagram user Pez Vela shared the video with Fox 35. He says he was on his own boat, which was docked at the American Yacht Harbor in Red Hook, when he spotted the boater heading out in what appeared to be an inflatable lifeboat as strong winds and rain thrashed the area. Paz Vela told Fox 35 he tried several times to make it to wherever he was going. At one point, the man's boat is picked up by the wind and nearly flips over. Eventually, Paz Vela says that the boater turned around and got back to shore safely. Hurricane Dorian moved out into open waters on Thursday. leaving behind limited damage in the northern Caribbean. Dorian is expected to make landfall in Florida over the Labor Day weekend.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy two! A South Carolina man told cops that he was, quote, forced to walk around naked by my drug dealer as punishment for an unpaid narcotics tab, according to an incident report. Around 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, a Myrtle Beach police department officer was flagged down by a witness in reference to a male walking down the road naked. In short order, the patrolman encountered David Shepard, 42, in the altogether. Shepard explained that he owed his drug dealer about $350 and that the pusher told him he needed to be embarrassed. So Shepard continued. The dealer confronted him at his residence and presented a firearm in front of him. The suspect then told the victim that he had to strip down naked and walk up and down a nearby street. Shepard says as he walked nude, the dealer followed him in a red SUV. The suspect, however, left the area before police arrived. Though the dealer was armed, Shepard claimed that the suspect did not threaten him and that the suspect told him he needed to embarrass the victim. The incident report describes the suspect as a 25-year-old black male. Shepard, who declined to identify the drug dealer, told cops that he did not want police involvement and did not wish to pursue charges. Shepard was not charged for his naked stroll. Fittingly, a cop reported that he was notifying a Sergeant Clothier about the incident. No. No. Right?
Maybe.
No. Sergeant Clothier? I don't believe it. According to court reports, or court records, Shepard is a registered sex offender due to an aggravated rape conviction in Massachusetts when he was 17. Upon moving to South Carolina, Shepard failed to register as a sex offender, resulted in a federal conviction and a 41-month prison sentence. Shepard subsequently had his probation revoked due to his possession and use of heroin and crack cocaine. Sounds like a real winner.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy. I'm not kidding you. You're a big dummy.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. A Jamaican national was detained for nearly 3 months in the U.S. after bringing in three bottles of honey from the Caribbean island that customs agents mistakenly thought was liquid methamphetamine. Leon Houghton, who lived in Maryland for 10 years, had gone back to visit his family in Jamaica over Christmas. The 45-year-old had brought back three bottles of honey from his favorite roadside stand to bring with him. His long ordeal started December 29th when he landed back at a Baltimore-Washington International Airport and customs agents had a dog sniff his bags. He assumed the dogs had sniffed the KFC chicken he had in his bag, but was surprised when agents seized the three bottles of honey that he uses to sweeten his tea. The agent told him that they suspected him of transporting liquid meth. Houghton recalls telling agents, according to the Washington Post, "I'm 100% sure I don't have drugs, I only have honey." He then fainted after they placed him in detention and he was taken to jail. Houghton and attorney Terry Morris believe he was stereotyped because of his race. They said he was questioned while in custody about a big Jamaican gang and drug dealing conspiracy, quote-unquote. The laboratory results from Maryland Took more than 2 weeks to arrive, and they came back negative. Authorities then sent the bottles to a second laboratory in Georgia after the first was judged to be insufficiently equipped to analyze the liquids. Although he had a green card granting him legal residence in the U.S., Houghton's arrest set in motion a detention process with immigration. The 45-year-old had brought back three bottles of honey, his favorite roadside stand, from Jamaica. And the tests in Georgia, meanwhile, finally confirmed that Houghton was indeed just transporting honey. Unbelievable. So the dummies in this case are the authorities.
Correctamundo.
I mean, really dumb.
They've started liquefying meth, man.
Horrible. That's a horrible story. Those guys are morons. Unbelievable.
You bigger dummy than my dummy.
We got a break here for some weather, but there are plenty of dummies to go around. Don't worry about that. We never run out of dummies. So we have more dummy stories. Got a couple more dummy stories. We'll read them, and then Tom will vote, I will vote, and the first person through, after I remind everybody who the dummies are, will be our third vote at 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? We are live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. Got our regular features going. This is You Big Dummy.
You Big Dummy!
Straight out of context, Nick D's show Spies, and of course, Fly Jams Friday. Coming up, if you want to get your requests in, 312-981-7200. All right, got a couple more dummies to tell you about, then the voting will begin. Dummy number two, four. Dummy number four. Dummy number four. For a second there, I was a dummy. Dummy number four. After stuffing $200 worth of crab legs in a purse, a mother-daughter duo fled a Tennessee supermarket, but not before slugging a female employee in the face when she tried to thwart the brazen crustacean heist. That's a movie title right there.
I think Steve McQueen was in that.
Brazen Crustacean Heist. Uh-huh. In criminal complaints filed yesterday, Felicia Hollins, 56, and Gabrielle Hodges, 34, are charged with theft and assault in connection with an August 18th crab leg thievery at the Super Lou Foods. Super Lou Foods. Just outside of Memphis, Super Lou Foods. Was Edward Furlong there? Did he show up? According to police, two witnesses said they watched two females take crab legs and conceal them in a purse. When store manager Diane Glover tried to stop the females at the checkout counter, one of the suspects struck her twice in the face. Memphis police subsequently identified Hollins and Hodges as suspects in the crustacean investigation. Oh, man. Did Dr. Seuss write this? The duo was collared after a witness identified both women in separate photographic lineups. In post-arrest-type statements, Hollins and Hodges each reportedly copped to participating in the robbery, as the complaints report. Hollins and Hodges were booked into the county jail on the misdemeanor counts. While Hollins was subsequently freed on her own recognizance, Hodges was released after posting a $100 bond. The women are scheduled for a court appearance later. Court filings do not address the whereabouts of the purloined crab legs.
Get lost, dummy! Before this game, you were just a plain dummy. But after the night, you'd be a broke dummy.
Don't
Dummy number five, dummy number five, dummy five, dummy.
A man in Washington who called police to report that his car had been stolen wound up behind bars himself when police discovered he allegedly had been robbing a store across the street when his vehicle was taken. William Kelly made a call to the Kennewick Police Department at around 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning to report the theft of his red 1992 Chevy pickup. Security camera footage obtained by the police show that a male on a bicycle was riding past the vehicle when he discovered the keys to Kelly's truck had been left on the seat. The individual then took his bike, placed it in the bed of the truck, and fled the fled the scene of the crime in the stolen vehicle. However, upon further review of the security footage, police discovered that the reason Kelly was at that location early Sunday morning was because he was in the middle of stealing items from a business right across the street. Kelly was immediately jailed in the early hours of Sunday morning and charged with burglary, according to a statement by the Kennewick Police Department.
Sold to the dummy with the black mustache. What kind of life do you think it is being the father of a young dummy?
All right. Time for a recap and a vote here on this week's Dummy of the Week. So let's do the recap. And then, by the way, first person in after the recap who votes at 312... First person through it, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 will be our third vote. Okay, we got the dummy boater who went out on his on the water in a raft during Hurricane Dorian. Dummy. We got the dummy who claims to have had to streak over a narcotics debt. We got the dummy authorities who arrested a man for having honey that they thought was meth. We have the dummy mother and daughter who were busted in a brazen crustacean heist, which is the new Jeremy Renner movie. I don't know if you know about that, and he does all the songs himself. And we have the dummy whose car was stolen while he was robbing a store across the street. His truck, his 1992 Chevy pickup. So those are the dummies, and we have to pick the dummy of the week. And so first person through here to vote will be our third vote, at 312-981-7200. Okay. Tom, what the hell?
I mean, I'm going to say the obvious choice is the crustacean heist, because not only is it dumb as hell, it makes for a great movie.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that. I can see that picture.
Yeah, you know, I mean, no, it's a great story, and Super Lou.
Yeah, we bring Hal Needham back from the dead.
Yeah,
and he directs a rollicking crab heist,
and it's Edward Furlong's got to be in it.
Oh, naturally.
I mean, he prefers to free lobsters. He likes to go into places free, but that's a crustacean, so you know it could still fit.
Yeah, he's not that picky.
No, I gotta say, I saw the footage of this moron in the raft. Trying to get across during Hurricane Dorian. I don't understand people like that. I don't know.
I don't know people who are still in like Florida, anywhere that could be affected right now, unless they
we're just going to stay.
Yeah. If you're stuck there, you're stuck there. Yeah. And I, my prayers go out to you. But if you can leave, why not?
So was this guy who was walking down the street
naked?
I think he was making up the whole story.
I don't know, man.
I think he was making up the whole story. So what drug dealer is going to say, you got to take off your clothes and walk around, I want you to be embarrassed? I don't buy that.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. Yeah. I can't even talk about the authorities who held that guy for the honey, because that just angers me. I got to say, it's a pretty great story about the guy's truck being stolen while he's committing a robbery. And I love the fact that the guy who's riding a bike just put the bike in the back of the truck. And then the mother and daughter busted for the brazen crustacean heist. But you know what? I'm gonna go with the truck being stolen.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we gotta have a deciding vote. Because, I mean, like, little details, like, the guy commits a robbery, comes back, his truck is stolen, and he calls the cops. But I love the fact that the guy was on a bike, and he just put it in the flatbed and drove the truck
That's
away.
Rad.
So there's only two to choose from, because the person on the line, who I'm about to go to, you have two to choose from, only two, because we need a deciding vote. You've got the mother and daughter who stole the crabs, and we got the idiot whose truck was stolen while he was robbing a store across the street. So those are the two to choose from. Rich, you're on the line. Which one do you choose?
Good morning. After further review, I'm going to have to go with the stolen truck.
Stolen truck. There you go. All right, I'm with you, Rich. Thanks, buddy. Have a good morning.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. You too.
Okay. The irony, man.
I like irony, but not as much as I like seafood.
Me too. Well, all right. All right, we got a break here, and we've got the news coming up, and then after the news, we'll jump into Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and we'll get funky with Fly Jams Friday. That's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context. That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Friday, and we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. And we've got our regular features happening. And this is Straight Out of Context. This, of course, is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right. Let's begin.
Let's do this. All right. First one's coming to us from Rob. Here is Bill Leff.
Just open your mouth and put it in.
A classic.
Yeah, that's good. Good ear. Good ear. Our listeners have a good ear.
That they do.
They do. Okay.
All right. We're going to have a couple here from Fox Valley Mike. First one here is you getting caught.
Right down into the hole. What was I talking about?
When you were talking about people texting on their phone, like texting while walking.
Oh, right. When she was walking and she ended up falling into the...
down to the hole.
Okay. Oh. Wow. Okay.
And another one from Fox Valley Mike. This one is Steve and Dean here.
We have some bodacious boobery today.
Ooh. Oh.
What?
We have some bodacious boobery today.
Ooh. Oh.
Some bodacious boobery?
Yep.
What was that? Were they talking about boobs?
They were talking about boobery as in being a boob, acting like a boob.
Oh, I see.
Because they are both boobs.
I wasn't aware that that was a term.
Boobery?
Yeah.
Wow, clearly you're not educated.
No, clearly. Okay.
Not like those two.
No. All right.
All right. Next one here. Wendy Snyder, the queen of Straight Out of Context, caught here by Scott in Streamwood.
Does this car make my ass look fat?
Oh, Wendy. Wendy cracks me up, man.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Next up here, this is coming to us from Lake Geneva, Dan. Here's Lou Manfredini.
You're going to get wet?
Oh, no. Oh, I wish Esmeralda were here.
I know. She loves him.
She loves the Lou Manfredini. Lou Manfredini out of context. All right.
Another one here from Lake Geneva, Dan. Here's Wendy Snyder.
And you said gigantic.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Bill was part of that.
Little
one
Bill, little Bill there, little
Bill
double
there too. He set her up. She teed it off. That's how it works. That's how it works.
A little double dutchy.
All right,
all right. Next up here, we've got Steve and G, and this is coming to us from Kelly in Elgin.
How big was it?
Eh, it was not big at all.
Wow. Yeah. What were they talking about?
You know, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just happened, it got sent in. I found it right away.
Right, found it right away. Okay.
Again, here's the great Ji Suk Yi, now on the morning show with Steve Cochran, caught by, Brian J.
Okay, you actually had to pitch a tent.
That's also a phrase that's been caught over the years.
Pitch a tent?
Yeah. Anytime somebody says pitch a tent, it's immediately. Yeah. Okay.
All right. This one's coming to us from Jim. Here's Dean Richards.
Take it off, and then you flip it.
Was he talking about grilling?
Yeah, he's talking about cooking pizzas on the grill.
Cooking pizzas on the grill.
Gotta cook.
That's what I thought. Yesterday on the morning show on TV, Dean was outside by the grill grilling up all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right,
all right. Another Dean here, but this one joined by Dave Ennett. This one caught by Tim. Oh, whoops, sorry.
What the?
Oh, pardon me.
If you use your grill daddy beforehand,
you really don't need much lubrication.
Yeah. Oh man!
What is a grill daddy? If Dave Bennett's out there,
he's not there.
What is a grill daddy?
It's a grill, I believe. That doesn't require, you don't need oil or anything like that.
Hello.
What do you got, Mayor?
Oh, the grill daddy. I think it cleans the grill.
It's a brush that you scrape the grill.
And those two, Dave Annett is in love with his grill daddy, and they talk about it all the time. him and Lou.
They love Lou Manfredini and Dave Annett love the grill daddy.
And Steve, I believe.
And yeah. Steve. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the grill daddy.
Everybody's into the grill daddy. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I figured grill daddy would be a person.
No, he just shows up.
I think those boys think it's a person.
He just shows up. I'm grill daddy to help you grill. You will need no lubrication.
Thanks, daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, that's not the great. Not good. All right, Mary, thank you for the explanation.
Yeah, that's all I hear about.
We'll have to talk with the grill daddy himself, Dave Ennett, when he gets in.
Naturally.
Okay, what indeed is next?
All right, John Williams here, caught by Brian.
I haven't done it in a while. I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I'm at full speed.
Can I take a guess?
Sure.
At what he was talking about?
Yeah.
Working with Teddy Roosevelt?
No, actually. He was talking about his Tom Skilling impersonation.
Oh, his Tom Skilling impersonation. I thought maybe because he hadn't done the show with Teddy Roosevelt in a long time. There's one coming up that he was a little rusty.
No, he's ready for that. And I got to say, his impression was actually pretty good.
Okay.
At that time. All right. Here's a good one. It's Steve Procopi, caught by Mark.
A couple of guys named Michael Schwartz and Tyler Nielsen really got me hard.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. This is Steve's first time.
Really?
First time.
Oh,
he's relatively new to the Monday Morning
That's
Reviews.
That's true, yeah.
He only took over very recently. And, so congratulations, Steve.
Wow.
Congratulations. And what a doozy, too. Boy, to be included in your first Straight out of Context with something that quality, that's pretty impressive, I got to say.
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Here's Bill Leff, caught by Maria.
There is some work to be done to get the meat out.
Oh, talking about lobsters.
Lobsters. That's what I was going to say, either crab or lobster.
Yeah, I got to keep that crustacean theme.
Yep.
All right, let's go here to Hannah Stanley, caught by Doc.
He's Mr. Like, pull it out when it's still slightly damp.
What? Whoa, come on, man. God. Good ear, Doc.
Well done, Doc.
Was she talking about cooking as well, right?
No, she's talking about laundry.
Oh, laundry.
Referring to laundry.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay, another Stephen G. They've been on a roll this week. This is coming to us from Brian.
And you can eat it raw, as G's been doing.
I have been eating it raw.
Was it corn?
Yep, me rye, sweet corn.
Me rye.
Good old me rye.
It's the best.
Let's see here. This one's coming to us from Roger. This is John Williams.
So that explains the...
Oh, my God. Oh, man, that's just creepy. That's just creepy. Man, JW, strong showing this week.
Very good.
Wow.
I put him higher on the power rankings now.
Yeah. All right.
All right, and then finally, here's Brian Noonan, in honor of the fact that he is filling in for us on Monday.
Yes.
I caught this one when I was going through some of these. This is just ridiculous.
John has a big thing he needs to plug.
Oh. Good ear. Good ear, Tom. Yes. And it is true. Brian Noonan will be filling in for us on Monday morning on Labor Day. Brian Noonan will be in, and Sammy will be producing. So the show is in good hands. We're very happy that that they are going to be filling in. So that's coming up on Labor Day. So we're going to break for weather, and then we'll come back and we'll get to Nick D's show Spies, and then get your fly jams on and get your fancy pants going, because Luscious Hushus will be spinning the discs. All right, so let's take a break here for some weather, and then again when we get back, one more Friday, two more Friday features. We'll have. We'll have Nick D Show Spies and Fly Jams Friday.
What do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies
like
hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies.
Like us.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on a Friday morning, and we are here until 5 o'clock. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Yes, that theme means another Friday feature here, and that's Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You're a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay.
All right. Just one spy this week. This is coming to us from Rob. He got mentioned on the John Williams show.
By the way, producer Elif says that the video, I'm looking on our website, Elif, is on the front page of WGNradio.com. Okay. Hold on. Let me just grab it over here and see. So there's a Chicago's own Thomas Ian Nicholas lives at Wizard World this weekend. There's Nick DiGilio. Probably doing a joke with his dad or some other stuff.
That he was just perusing the website?
Yeah, I think he was looking for a specific video.
Yeah.
And then I think he saw the video that you did, the Mirai video.
Oh, the Mirai, the yeah. Mirai video. Mirai yes, video. I did a Mirai video talking about the praising the fantastic Mirai sweet corn.
Delicious sweet corn.
So,
But apparently he figured you would have been doing a joke with... With your dad or some other stuff.
Or some other stuff, yeah.
I guess.
All right. All right. Well, let's get fly, shall we?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah, man. There it is, man. It's Fly Jam Friday. Have we got requests?
Oh, yeah. We got quite a few.
I'm Wiki Wiki Nicky. Viggity Viggity Vic, Verified Double V, is running around like a lunatic in the newsroom. And let's say hello to Luscious Hushus.
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushus, baby.
That's right. DJ Luscious Hushus has all the flyness. All right, man. Let's begin.
Let's begin indeed. This one's coming to us from our good friend Harold. It's old Joe Simon. The song is Drowning in the Sea of Love. Shall we?
That's born from my eyes. I drown one time.
That is a great song.
Very good.
Yeah, that is a fly song.
Very good album cover, too.
Yeah.
The Power of Joe Simon. He's got a great kind of jacket on, purple pants.
We saw some great album covers on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
You know, there was an album cover that I think is legitimately great that I didn't mention, and it came to me, you know, obviously, like, yesterday afternoon. I was like, oh! We didn't mention, I don't think The Who got mentioned at all.
No.
And right off the top of my head, Who's Next? Where they just peed on the wall.
Yeah.
I love that. That's one of my favorites. Quadrophenia is a fantastic album cover.
Who for Sale? I think that's one of the funniest.
Yeah, it's great. They have a lot of great album covers, and they were not mentioned. The Who was not mentioned, but I think Who's Next is a truly iconic album cover.
Oh yeah,
I love that album cover. It's a great album too. There's some songs on there that get overplayed.
Sure,
like, you know,
Baba O'Reilly.
If I never hear Baba O'Reilly again, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't like the song, and I do like the song. It's a great song, but I don't need to. It's one of those songs where it's like, nah, I don't want to.
Get some deeper cuts.
I don't need to hear it. So, all right, who's going to go fly?
All right, next person up for flight is Mike in Louisville. Wanted to hear a little bit of a Michael Jackson classic. Kind of anticipation of the fall and Halloween. It's Thriller.
So, yeah, that's Thriller. So right now, Dean is reviewing The Fanatic with John Travolta. And I guess I didn't realize just how bad his hair is in this. Have you seen what he looks like in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's called The Fanatic, and it opens this weekend. And Dean's talking about it now. I just want to see what... He gives it a D-.
Yeah. Well, it's directed by Fred Durst.
He doesn't like the work of Fred Durst?
It was the best of times. It was the Durst of times.
Do you know what Fred Durst actually... He's directed a few movies.
Oh, God. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of them was that wacky children's football movie with Ice Cube. I can't remember I can't remember what it's called.
Ice Cube.
It's like a sports movie. It's like a kid's sports movie, like a football movie with Ice Cube and Fred.
The Long Shots.
Yeah, that Fred Durst directed that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's directed other movies too. This is not the first movie he's ever directed. But I just remember when I saw the. He's got a few movies under his belt.
Yeah.
But when the first time I saw. That he directed the football movie with Ice Cube, I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So, all right, who's fly next?
All right, next up, it's David Monroe with a pretty classic fly sort of jam. This is from all the way back in 1959. It's Ray Charles with What I Say. Yeah.
There are roughly eight words in that song.
That's why I like it.
No, it's a great song. An absolute classic. An absolute classic and very fly. All right, who's next?
All right, next up, it's despite the fact that he's not here this morning, he's taking the day off, Bennett, the Business of Funk Wake Night.
Oh.
Threw this one over to me. It's a band called Toro y Moi, and this is their song Ordinary Pleasure. I love this track. Thanks, Bennett. It's a game that we play, no one's safe. Maximize all the pleasure, even with all this weather. Nothing can make it better. Maximize all the pleasure.
ducks even sell anymore.
That's very Jamiroquai like.
Yeah. It's got a vibe.
Except for the vocals. Vocals don't sound like Jamiroquai.
No,
but the rest of it, the production, the beats, it all sounds like Jamiroquai.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very good.
All right, we got time for one more quickly.
All right, let's do one more quickly. I got to toss this one over to Casera, who's Cash, DJ Cash Era, who's here in studio.
Yeah.
And also the fact that this artist just performed amazingly at the MTV Music Video Awards.
It's Missy
Lizzo.
Elliot? Oh,
no,
Lizzo.
Lizzo.
Oh, Lizzo rules.
Going to throw in a little bit of juice. Say I'm not the baddest chick you like. Ain't my fault that I'm out here getting loose. Gotta blame it on the goops. Gotta blame it on my juice, baby. Ain't my fault that I'm out here making news. Time to put it in the proof. Gotta blame it on my juice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blame it on my juice. Blame it on my juice. Yeah, yeah.
She's awesome. She is awesome. That song is a jam, and she killed it at the VMAs. I thought you were going to play Missy Elliott, because she also killed it at the VMAs. So, all right. Very cool. Tom, have a good weekend.
Thank you, sir. You as well.
We're going to have a long weekend, Labor Day. Everybody have a great Labor Day, and thank you for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday morning, Two for Tuesday, and much more. Right here. So have a great weekend, a safe weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday morning. And I want to thank Brian Noonan ahead of time for filling in on Monday.